found all of this in the basement and found some stuff still up in the girl room, in Frida's girl room. You might remember a couple of years ago, you know, I never did anything around the house. But one thing I did do was paint this room pink. Right. She wanted a pink room with girly wallpaper up on top.
Right.
And she said, you never do anything, and I did it.
Yeah.
Painted the room.
You like did it in a day, right?
Yeah, a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was good.
You were proud? She was pleased?
And she put in this white shag carpeting, mm-hmm. and the whole thing just, well, it was like, it's like Neil Sedaka's bedroom.
Okay,
right. Is what it looks like.
Like it should have princess phones in it and things like that.
So slowly, as things have been removed from the room, right. just in the natural course of things,
right.
I've decided I've got a couple rooms in my house like that that are just too girly. So I think what I'm going to do is, I got a game plan now. I'm going to go to Home Depot. What I'm going to do is paint the walls a charcoal gray,
uh-huh.
and I'm going to paint the ceiling of the room black.
Wow.
And now this is not to be downer or to be macabre or to be goth. It's because I'm going to put a TV in there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to put a lounger in there,
uh-huh.
and it's going to be like just a relaxing man's room.
Okay.
So it used to be a girl's room.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't walk you through what a just total ass idiot I am when it comes to buying paint, buying supplies.
What are you going to do to the floor?
Well, this is part of it. I covered the floor with tarps.
Good. No, but I'm talking about was your long-term game plan. You're not going to do a gray wall with a black ceiling and white shag carpet. Are you going to take the carpeting up, too?
Well, let me get to that, Mark.
All right. Well, I didn't know.
I hadn't thought that far ahead. Frankly,
it's not white anymore.
At the beginning... Well, now you got there. You
I'm
go.
Sorry.
You know, I can't tell you.
I couldn't help it
one
again.
Goddamn thing, can I?
I don't know.
I can't tell you nothing at all. And, you know, just let it go on the air. Okay. So here's the answer. I don't have a plan for the carpeting.
All right.
But what I've done is I've gone to Home Depot and I've gotten the paints and they've mixed them up and I not gotten them wrong, but they've mixed the colors correctly
mm-hmm.
for me. And it's what I want. I've got the brushes. I do all the crap. I put all the tape up everywhere. I put all of the plastic on the floor. I paint the room. I paint the ceiling. I'm really retarded, and I'm not coordinated, and I have a problem with depth perception. And outside of the fact that it took me maybe 7 hours to paint a room that I found out later because of the carpeting, the dimensions on are 20 feet by 13 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small room
right.
that has a walkway that leads to a closet area. So really, the walls and the ceiling are not gigantic. But I'm thrilled because I've gone to the store. I bought the stuff. I've moved everything out of the room. I've painted the walls. I'm standing there. And I notice that there are a couple of spots that needs some trim.
Mm-hmm.
That need, you know, just like me, I needed some trim.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I go and I get...
You need some touching up?
Yeah. What I do is I get the smaller can of paint, okay? Now, because I had the big, gigantic buckets, you know, the gallon mm-hmm. things. But I also got a couple of the smaller ones, like pint size.
An X-Tree. Quartz, I think.
Yeah, it's almost like a Ben and Jerry size.
Okay.
That's really how Home Depot-wise I am. The paint container that I screwed up, that I ended up having to mess with, was about as big as a Ben and Jerry's. Do you get
it? It's a quart.
A quart.
Right.
So I've got out the smaller jar, not jar, I mean what I call a can.
Right.
Can of paint.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing just a couple of spots where it looks like the tape wasn't exactly neat. And I'm just going.
You're doing the ceiling?
Yeah. I'm going, God damn it. I'm so good. I'm up on the ladder. And I'm going, I'm so good. God, I'm so good. And meanwhile, it is splattering a little bit, but only right underneath me where I still have all of the tarp.
Good. Right.
Okay. Now, in the other half of the room, it's done. So everything has been taken down. I've taken down the tape. I've taken down the tarps.
How's it look?
Looks fantastic.
Good.
All I've got is this one little spot. Maybe three. I've got 3 feet of tarp underneath the ladder where I'm up on
touching
top,
up, yeah.
just doing some touch up.
Right.
I come down the ladder, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at this, And I'm like, I can't believe how great this is. And I take a step back. Now, it's very hard to describe. I'm going to have to show you. And what I do is, let me switch mics.
Yeah.
Such an idiot. I'm like this, getting off the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh, God damn. This room looks great. And as I say, this room looks great with this enthusiasm. And I go like this with my leg. Like, yes.
Victory.
Yes. I realize what I have done is put my foot directly in the little thing.
The tray?
Not the tray, the little bucket.
The quart of
paint.
Mm.
Now, what I do, because I'm a spaz, because I'm an idiot and I'm a retard, is I look down and I go, there's a moment where if I had just been cool.
And just stopped and lifted your foot up, right?
Everything would have been fine.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is I look down and I go, oh, God, Jesus, God. Now you have to help me describe what I'm describing.
You're doing a little dance. Going, you're shaking your foot.
I'm going, God, because the thing's on the edge of my shoe.
Oh, so you actually wedged your foot into it.
Yes.
Oh. So you're shaking your foot around with like a half full quart container of paint.
Bingo.
Which probably
Now,
went everywhere.
Yes. So what happens is, you know, it all happens.
I see. Now I understand what you're talking about. You wedged your toe in there. You wedged your foot. And instead of reaching down and prying it off, you attempted to shake it off.
Because I'm an idiot. And this is as I was coming down from the ladder,
mm-hmm.
and my foot goes down, and I went like, and I turned and saw it. It was like,
right, yeah.
Oh, crap. It's like, I just ruined this brand new pair of shoes. Like, nah! And I tried to kick it off.
Right.
And the more that it wouldn't do anything,
yeah.
the more that it wouldn't go, and all of this happened real time. Oh, it wasn't these shoes.
Right.
The shoes that I had on are destroyed.
Right.
Real time. The spaz attack took maybe 8 seconds. Pardon me for just a moment.
You can do a lot of damage. So I would assume that part of your room that you were saying you had already opened up didn't have the tarp on it?
Here's the thing. It looked like King Kong had relieved himself in my room. The wall...
Did it resemble a Jackson Pollock painting?
Yes, it did, Mike. Absolutely. The wall,
if anybody's ever seen that movie.
The wall behind me that had been perfectly painted gray
uh-huh.
had spots and speckle art and spin art, and it was all over the place.
Like totally irreparable.
What I had to do was repaint all of the walls that I had already painted.
Got some on the... Well, the ceiling wouldn't have mattered as much, but it's still
a different texture. And I've got it all over me, so I'm just...
And this is the black paint.
Black.
Oh.
Black is a thousand midnights. And I'm standing there, and I'm just going, I can't... Really, I was having a breakdown. I was going, I can't believe...
You put your hands up to your eyes?
But I had paint all over me, so it didn't matter. I was just standing there going... Can't believe how goddamn stupid I am. And I look at it, I'm just looking at the wall saying, I gotta repaint that whole wall.
Right.
That whole effing wall. God. And then I looked down.
I saw.
The one thing I've forgotten was the can of paint, which, of course, had turned on its side and had spilled into a gigantic pool like big enough for me to swim in on the white shag carpeting.
Oh, man. I did not know that.
So I am just out of my mind at this point. The dogs...
Time to get out the box cutters.
Bless the dogs' hearts. They hear... All they hear is the racket upstairs. And I got the dogs... I've got the dogs downstairs going... Because they hear the commotion. Now, I already know because I'm covered in black paint.
You know, this is like a sitcom. The only thing you have to do now is like stomp so hard you fall through the floor.
I wish. Because then someone would have fixed it for me. The problem is...
But you enjoy, as much as you're saying you're an idiot, you still enjoy that labor. That is a handyman task, painting that you seem to enjoy.
It's about the only thing that I can do. But as it turns out, it was awful. So what I did is
If you had left that ladder and come down on the ladder and not hit that paint can, are you golden? Is it perfect?
Wow. Yes.
You take the tape off and everything's done?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, because I had, there was just enough tarp left.
That's like the guy that trips right at the finish line.
Yep.
Yeah, hi.
That sucks.
That's
but it
right.
was your joy that set all this in motion and
I'm a loser.
Your anger that totaled the carb.
I'm a loser. So what I do is I
kind of like, you know what, I got another example for you.
Go ahead.
It's like the guy that celebrates about 5 yards before he gets to the end zone and he holds the ball out and the other
guy knocks it out.
Yeah.
That's me. Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer the painter.
That's why you're growing the beard.
Yeah, and I've been growing it about as long as he has. Good. So I go back to Home Depot, and I get more paint. And I mentioned to the guy at Home Depot, because I see in the ads that they're friendly and they help and stuff. And I go in and,
and it's obvious. See in the ads they're friendly and they help.
Yeah, it's obvious that I'm either Ted Danson doing some type of blackface with Whoopi Goldberg, or
right.
I've been involved in some type of serious problem with paint.
You're expecting like to walk into the Home Depot and somebody will come up, put their hand on your shoulder and go, can I help you?
Right.
Can I help you, friend? You seem to have had too much day.
That's what I was expecting, Mike. And,
I know. They're like that to each other.
It don't happen.
Right. If you're wearing the orange bib.
So, this is again where, you know, I figure out I can do stuff that I never thought I could do.
Right.
I'm talking to the guy at Home Depot, and he's getting the paint for me that I need to repaint the gray walls. Mm. And I mention about the carpeting. And he says, you're probably going to need new carpeting.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. He said, we don't handle that. I said, he said, how do you call anybody to do it? The guy said, you want to really save yourself some money, though? Tear up the old carpeting yourself, because they're going to rip you off on that.
True.
So I got home.
Because it's such an easy task.
Didn't think about that.
I got home.
If that's been installed properly, that's one of the most difficult things to do in the world.
Yeah. Okay, I wish you would have called me and told me.
Jesus.
I got home. I finished painting the room.
Did you think you were just going to be they glued it down, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So here's what I do. I get the room done. The room's painted. There's no more paint. I can't make any more mistakes.
Right.
All I got to do is just rip this thing up. And incidentally, in the meantime, I've called because this is the kind of hip guy I am, the kind of suave consumer that I am. I called 1-800-EMPIRE.
Hey!
You succumbed to that? That ad campaign?
Mike, here's the thing.
Is there any company that buys more advertising than those guys?
No. Here's the thing. I really needed next day carpeting.
That's right.
I really freaking needed next day carpeting.
So you dialed 800-588-2300.
I don't care if it's not real carpeting.
I'm with you. That ad
now,
runs so much on TV all the time.
I call up and I say, it's not a big room. I would like a dark color, whatever the nicest is. Tell me what the nicest is, then give me the prices and everything. Uh-huh. And she says, we could send a guy out, or you could actually go on the internet if you want to just look and
right.
compare
mm-hmm.
prices and stuff.
Oh,
and
that's good.
It's just carpeting, and I know that Frida would have done it differently, but what the hell, I'm me. So I say, great, let's do this, let's book this. And they really say, they can come out in the next 24 hours.
Excellent.
Just like the ad on TV says.
Uh-huh. Even like on a Sunday?
Yes, even on a Sunday.
Wow.
And she said, now, the cost of the carpeting will be this much money.
Uh-huh.
The cost to have them install the carpet will be this much money.
Right.
The carpet that you're replacing, to have them pull that out,
uh-huh.
that will be this much money.
Uh-huh.
And it was at that one that I said, I'm not going to pay that.
Wow.
I can do that myself.
Yeah.
And the woman said, okay, great. Someone will call you.
Did she say thank you?
Someone will call you, and, they'll let you know
now,
what time they're coming by
this.
Tomorrow.
Let me ask you this. Now, really, because with the paint, I can understand all that. I can.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just say, take the stuff out? They got to put it out. You got to put it out in the truck anyway. You know, you don't have like a
Here's
pickup. Do you still have a pickup? Were you going to take it to the dump yourself
I
or put it on the side of your street?
I don't have a pickup anymore.
But the thing is, I've had people do that. I've watched the and it can be, sometimes it can be amazingly easy, but most of the time
it was incredibly hard.
If it's relatively new carpeting, glued, where it's been there a while, and you obviously put that in a short time back, it's glued down. It's so hard.
Here was the deal that I went up there and I got the cutting thing, the cutting
box
tool.
Cutter,
yes,
cutting
thank you.
Medium.
Yeah, cutting machine, and figured, you know, this is going to be actually pretty easy. Because all I'm going to do is bend over, like I'm hiking the football, and just start yanking this out. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get some of this aggression out of my system.
Sure, exactly.
I lean down, swear to Christ, and I go, and I'm like in a tug of war with this thing, and I'm pulling, I swear to Christ, as hard as I can. My eyes are closed, and I'm like,
vessels.
Veins. I pulled up maybe an inch of the corner, and all that I see is like
super glue.
That this, the part that I've pulled out, it's like it's not coming out.
Yeah, so, and if you don't have the tool for it, there's a tool that they use to do it.
Now here's where Big Ed comes into the story.
Big Ed came to the rescue.
Thank goodness.
Didn't do the work. But guess who knew about this tool you speak of?
Yes.
Big Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I called Big Ed, and I said, hey, I've painted myself into a corner, if you'll pardon the pun. And I said, I don't know how to get this carpeting up. And they want to charge me like, $200 or something to take this step up, and I should just be able to pull it up. He came over with this tool, which kind of looked like something that you use to break into somebody's car.
Yeah, it's got kind of a red handle on it. Right,
yeah, it's almost like that thing that the cops...
Rubber handle.
Yeah, that the cops stick down your window, except you're right, it's got a big handle on the other end of it.
Right.
And here's what he did. He came over, and he said, this should be simple. Let me show you how to do this. And again, now, here's a guy who's in his 60s.
Yeah.
I'm 47. He goes... Just like this. Watch me, Mike. You put it right underneath here, and then you pull, and he pulls back about 3 feet with it worth of the stuff.
Excellent.
Right? And I said, you're the man, Ed. Thank you, Ed.
Right.
And then we had our little discussion about talking about him on the radio, which I'll bring up in a moment.
All right. Son, I want to have a word with you.
And he left to go home.
Right. I'm tired about all these fibs you've been telling about me on the radio.
I go back upstairs. I swear to God. I do the exact same thing as Ed. Maybe this time it moves 2 inches.
Fine.
Keep in mind, you know what's his name? Frank, who's the celebrity he most resembles?
Frank Langella?
Yeah, Frank Langella has just come over, and without breaking a sweat,
has managed
to pull up with like 3 feet of this.
I'm not trying to bust your chops, but I have a significant question for you.
Go ahead.
Were you paying really close attention when he showed you, or were you kind of just nodding like you do?
Okay, like you have to ask me?
No, because it's probably...
He probably
used the tool and kind of like when you weren't looking and then he lifted the carpeting up and then you...
You know the way I am. Yeah. I just saw, look how easy. Oh, good. Okay, all right, bye. Bye. Then he wanted to talk
about... But you still have the tool at this point, right?
Yeah, I've got the tool. Right. So he's gone and... I just flew in, and boy, my arms are killing me. About 3 hours. I'm surprised that I don't have exploding biceps today.
Yeah. I've seen guys do that. I've seen workers, professional carpet people do it, and heard them bitch about it. Because you can get a situation where the glue job is actually better than the carpeting itself, and that's when it starts to come up in little chunks.
Yeah.
That's when you get a happy crew.
Oh, well, man. I got it all and had it all out there.
The tool,
and,
the tool helped, I imagine, right?
Yes, absolutely. Good. If not for the tool,
right,
I would have been...
It's kind of like you're scraping underneath the carpeting and then you pull it up. You're scraping between the carpet and the glue.
You know, you've got all that that black rubber. And
it's a blade tool is what it is.
Yes, what you do is you go underneath the turf, as I was calling it after a while. Right. This was not carpeting. This was like field turf. You go underneath it, and you get like a wedge, you know, where you get an edge up in the air.
Right.
And then once you get that edge, boy, you go on the other side, and you rip that mother out.
It means the one good thing about all this, whoever had done your carpeting the last time did a good job with the install. The harder it is to get up is usually the better the carpet's put up.
So they came over the next day, and they had the stuff. And, you know.
So, I mean, you really can tell me that the commercials are what they,
yes.
Same day, even on a weekend.
Yeah, it didn't seem to matter.
Wow, right? That's awesome.
I mean, of course, it's not a gigantic.
I didn't know anybody did that on Sunday.
It's not a gigantic. It's not a gigantic room. I also did not have a sales guy come out.
That's great.
I also did not bother like to look through a catalog or anything. I just went on the internet and said, "Yeah, that looks good."
And you liked what they put down?
You like the result?
I like it a hell of a lot better than white shag carpeting with with big black spots. Look like Star Jones underpants.
Did you get the rest of the painting done in between the time that?
Yes.
You had pulled it up.
Yes, so
that must have been real easy. You didn't have to put down a drop cloth.
Now we can play the game. Who wants to guess the man? Actually, there were two of them. The men that came out, foreign or domestic, and they were two of a kind. So you can't say one was one and one was the other. What do you think?
Foreign. I'll say foreign.
Mike.
I'm going to say domestic.
Robbie.
I'm going to say foreign and Asian.
I'll say foreign and Hispanic.
Fellas, wrong, wrong, right.
Yeah.
Mike, right.
Yeah, domestic.
And you didn't pay a fortune, but you paid more than you would under normal circumstances because they got to pay for their advertising and they probably pay their people pretty well to be at your disposal all the time.
Well, the window, I mean, it's not like they said we'll be there at 9.
Right.
The window was any time between 7 and 7.
Still, it's Sunday.
Same day, though.
Yeah.
Next day. That's very, very cool.
But
no
sadly,
complaint.
It was between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Wait all night.
We're here to put your garbage in.
Wake up!
But, and you like, I mean, I know you like it better than the stuff that had the black paint, but do you like the carpeting? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure here is my problem. As I was looking at the carpeting layer, I was thinking, this was like Frida's area,
I know.
I'm sure she would look at it and say to me, like when she would talk to you about furniture.
Yeah.
If it didn't come at some store where they knocked up the price at least 5 times, it just wasn't worth it to Frida.
Right.
I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than fine.
Good.
I think it looks really good.
Good.
And I'm really proud of myself because I'm a retard. And that's another thing that I never thought I would do. I knew I could paint a room. I did not know that I could actually F up a room so bad that at one point it would look like like King Kong had an accident in his underpants. And I didn't know that 24 hours later it could look so beautiful.
And it came out great.
So beautiful. You know what I should do? I should take a picture of this and put it on the website.
Do that.
Because I'm truly proud. I mean, all you're going to see is a room.
Right.
But you got to know that I did it.
Right.
Fair enough.
Well, what's cool about this is you did this. You measured the room.
Yeah.
Because you had to tell the lady, this is how they brought the right amount out. Everything came out. You did all that. You got your own carpeting.
And I got all the leave-ins.
And that's very cool.
They bring out the big roll of carpet.
It's obviously a lot of work, right?
Yeah. The guy says to me, do you want the leave-ins?
See? Yeah.
Like, well, what am I going to do with them? He says, I don't know. Make them into floor mats if you want.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You can put little stuff in front of your windows.
Carpet the side.
I mean, your sliding glass doors.
The inside of your car, the roof, the walls.
Low rider.
Anyway, good for me.
Yeah. Congratulations. It sounds like it's a happy ending.
Because I'm a total fag. Now, about Big Ed. Hold on. Let me break it. I'll tell you about Big Ed and about Big Frida.
It sounds like Big Ed saved the day again, though.
Yeah, this guy, Big Ed,
that's
my neighbor.
That's one handy dude that's got that tool with him.
Mm-hmm. Who would know? Who would know?
Big Ed would know.
Yeah,
well you got to figure what? The guy's 60 years old?
67.
67 years old?
67.
He's probably living in houses and putting down carpet.
There you go. Here's exactly what I wrote down when Ed came over. Big Ed's rebuttal. Number one, when Clint came up with the doll, with the deer's head, with the remainder of the deer's head, and then Ed came over and he was wearing, as I described them, his camouflage outfit.
Fatigues.
No, actually, it was an old training uniform.
Uh-huh.
He only uses it to go in the woods because he doesn't like to get his nice clothes dirty.
Of course.
He's not a crazy guy who wears camouflage all the time. It didn't have his name or his rank on it.
Uh-huh.
It's just like regular, plain fatigues.
Right. Okay.
I apparently said cami.
Yes. It wasn't like a regular, like, army uniform.
It wasn't spotted.
It looked like army uniform to me, but again, Ed says...
Drab green, right?
No, Rob does.
Now he's going to get mad if you're... He's telling you to specifically share that with us, and now you're going to
Rob's giving me the look like... Rob's giving me the look like, he, like he's got the old Reagan thing,
anyone
and I don't think
anytime
so.
Anytime someone says, I'm not crazy, I'm
right.
sure he's fine.
Item number two that Ed would like me to straighten out.
Okay.
He is a full bird colonel.
That's what I said the other day.
I said he was a four-star colonel.
Right. Yes, but because you have a brilliant partner who knows military ranks, we were able to correct that on the show.
He is a full bird colonel.
Mm-hmm.
He retired in 2002.
Cool.
He could have, if he wanted to, gone on to become a general.
Okay.
Wow.
This is I'm just reading what
That's,
Ed,
there's
what Ed wrote.
Nothing, yeah, I don't dispute any. Usually a guy that makes colonel. Yeah.
Furthermore, he's still on call.
Oh, really?
Ah. Like, if anything heavy happens, watch out.
Okay.
Good to live next door.
Okay. Next item. His words, not mine. I am not a military militia nut.
That's good.
I will catch the poachers.
Good.
I will do it legally.
Good.
As I am helping the entire neighborhood.
That's right.
There you go. That's what Big Ed would like me to say about him.
He's got
to
be a bright guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's usually a pretty smart guys that make that rank in the military.
Yeah, that's
a smart guy, isn't he? I mean, he's a tough guy, but a smart guy.
I think
but
he is.
Knows
Andy,
a lot of
Andy
stuff.
Had this thing that enabled me to, mm-hmm. to scoop this and pull this, and it was like, I hate to keep saying her name, but it was like being at the kind of colleges with Star Jones, doing this thing with the carpeting.
Uh-huh. But you did it.
Yes, goddamn right.
And the room's got that new room smell now.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. And listen.
I like that smell.
Boy, I was high as a kite because I was just sitting in there watching. I was sitting there for a while because I got a TV.
Right. Oh,
here's it. That's just what I need. Another TV.
A second one?
Yeah. I got one of the nice little ones,
right.
You know, the nice little LCD screen thing.
Right.
And I got it in there, and it looks so nice because it's shiny black, and it's got a stand. And I'm just sitting in there watching the end of the Seattle game last night and noticing at one point, it's like, oh, dude. Dude, and what it was, I swear to Christ, it was the fresh paint smell.
Sure.
Still.
And the carpeting and the glue, yeah.
Did Big Ed want you to save the shag carpet to wrap the poachers in?
Rob?
And I'm going to need a little plastic, too.
Yes. Rob, yes. That is a full bird, Colonel.
I'm simply joking.
He could have been a general if he wanted to. And the feeling that I got today was that if Osama bin Laden does something, I'm going to go hide in one of Ed's caves.
There you go.
But then I'm pretty sure that...
Have you been to Ed's house?
I have been. Since Frida passed away, I've been to Ed's house more times in the last 7 months mm-hmm. than I had in the previous 10 years. The guy had been living next door to me.
Wow. Does he have does he have a panic room? I mean, he probably doesn't need one.
No. Stop that.
You know what?
I had a neighbor that was...
He does have, because he was in the Korean conflict.
The Howard Cunningham bomb shelter?
He does have a Korean guy's head on his mantle.
Fair enough.
No, maybe not. It looks like Fuji from McHale's Navy.
Oh, okay. Well, then it might be from World War II.
Japanese. I'm not really sure.
I had a neighbor one time at band camp. I had a neighbor that was a veteran. He had an AK-47, he claimed, in his house. It was inside the wall.
Wow.
He put it in there. It was for a big, big-time emergency, and he re-drywalled over it.
Okay,
but he knew how to access
Mike
it.
Mike talking not about my
no,
neighbor.
No, I'm not talking about your neighbor.
Colonel Ed.
Not the full bird colonel.
No.
I speak for Mike and myself.
And incidentally, you know what you should call him?
What's that?
Colonel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is no. Now that is the etiquette.
No, you know why I don't?
From my church.
Really, you know why I don't?
Why? Because of my my situation, and that was the lieutenant colonel.
Because Mike's first wife, her father, Mike's father-in-law, was a military guy, and Mike would always refer to the colonel.
The colonel.
And your dog's first name is Colonel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah right.
Is that offended by the fact that you call your dog Colonel Glink?
No, is Big Ed? No, Big Ed's not a
but
fan.
But I'm sure that in very, very many circles, Ed's probably accustomed to being referred to as Colonel.
Yeah.
When you get that kind of rank, you know, it's not you can be called Colonel.
It's like doctor.
It's like doctor. Exactly right.
Now, if Clint had stayed
but
in the service,
like,
could he have gone to general?
What?
If Clint had stayed in the service, could he have become a general?
I don't know.
Listen to him. You know, you got a sick head on him when he comes over.
Yes, please. Don't think I'm not thinking about it.
No, I have nothing but respect for the military.
I'm serious. I believe he's one of these guys. He's not a funny...
Colonel Ed is much better than Mr. Ed.
He's not a phony like Liddy. I believe he's one of these guys.
You're damn right he's not.
I believe he's one of these guys that really could kick some ass.
That's right. I know he could.
Watch it.
Was Liddy even an officer?
And a gentleman.
But Colonel, that's a big deal. That's a big, I mean, that takes a long time and a lot of, you know, hanging it. Of course, a lot of people in the military, but yeah, you got to know who to know, you know, that kind of thing. But no, it's a colonel in the military.
He's smart.
Colonel in the Army?
You're a big German sympathizer. How come you didn't tell me what time it is?
Well,
we got a break.
We're having fun.
We got a break.
God damn.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This Friday. Is the John Mike Show. A division of Line One Industries International, The Don and Mike Show.
Friday.
Hey, baby.
That means it's our NFL segment. And we love dipping into the Fox well.
Yeah.
Now we have JB on all the time.
Yeah, he's great.
Have had Terry on.
Right.
Last week had Terry versus JB.
That was a
very
wonderful
exciting
segment.
Battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had Howie on. We've had Joe Buck on.
Sure. How do you top that?
Well, today we decided rather than go with one of those guys,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go with one of the game announcers.
Good.
Oh, good. And fortunately, not a jock. Okay, the guy's a broadcaster.
Right.
I think he's doing the Carolina game this weekend, a huge weekend. Buzz, here's the deal.
Yes.
This man's name, I know that you don't watch football as much as we do.
No.
This man's name is Sam Rosen.
Okay.
And he's good. He's a Fox guy, and he's good.
One of the best. Good for him.
He sits up there with one of the guys with the big necks that likes talking with the hands and everything.
Right.
But he's a professional broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So the segment today will be broadcaster to broadcaster.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And Buzz, you, of course, know nothing about this. Sam, let's see, do we have him on hold now?
Yeah, he's there on the
Oh, he's hearing that. Okay. So he's hearing that he's going to be interviewed by a man who knows virtually nothing about football.
I see. Yes, it should be, but he's a professional, so it should be an interesting segment.
But you're both broadcasters.
Right. Hopefully that will help.
So joining us now from Charlotte, as we get ready for our Friday football, brought to you by Fox NFL Sunday, here is Sam Rosen.
Hi, Sam.
And hey, Sam.
How are you?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hi, Sam.
That was a terrific lead-in.
Yeah, well it's a very unique segment that we're going to do here.
See, we as we mentioned, I don't know how much of you that you heard. We have the guys.
I heard all of it, yeah.
We have the guys from the pregame show on, and we've had the other announcers on. Rather than bore you with, and God, we would love to spend like 10 minutes with you just discussing the nuances of Bill Moss,
right?
Rather than put you in a compromising position like that,
uh-huh,
we thought it might be interesting. We got this guy Buzz. He's been our news guy for 15 years,
and he's the guy on this show that we really fancy as the broadcaster.
And to tell you where he's coming from, at one point we asked him how many guys were on a football team.
Yeah.
And I think his answer was something like four.
And here's what I'd like, Sam, I'd like if you...
What was it really, Buzz?
I don't know. I think I probably said like 11.
I think what I'd like to do is have Sam... 11's correct.
So that's
not the answer you gave.
Well, then maybe I said 9. At the end of the segment, Sam, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of, it's not really grading Buzz, but just let us know how you think he did.
Okay.
All right.
Now Buzz, do you know enough?
Here's the question. Will I ever see Buzz again, or will he know my address if I give him a bad rating?
I don't think you have to worry about that.
You're off the hook.
I hold no grudges, Sam. Mm-hmm. And I hope you do the same.
And Buzz, you're off.
Absolutely.
You're off the hook, too, and I meant that like the kids.
Right.
You know, you're off the hook.
Oh, thank you.
So, now, Buzz, I'm just going to give you the opening that I would do with Sam.
All right.
Okay, you can either ask him about the game he's doing this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Carolina, any idea who they play?
The Panthers, who are they playing this week? No, I really
don't. They play Tampa Bay.
Uh-huh. Oh,
or,
yes.
Or you could ask him about the only undefeated team in the NFL.
Now, how much hand-holding are you going to do here? Are you
That's
just
going to let him...
He's got to stand on his own now.
Our microphones are off.
The training wheels are off.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcaster to broadcaster, Buzz Burbank, Sam Rosen from Fox NFL Sports.
Go, Buzz.
Sam, thank you for joining us on the Don and Mike Show. It's late in the season. The game's much more important at this point, right?
Absolutely, Buzz, because you're having a drive for the playoffs. You have wild card positions available. Division titles are on the line. So you're down to the final four games, the final quarter of the season, and each game grows in importance as you try to make it to the playoffs.
And you're covering one of the biggest, the Bucs at the Panthers this weekend. I'm reading that Tampa Bay is favored to win. Are you excited about covering this particular game?
Without a doubt, this is a game for first place, Buzz, as you just mentioned, with two teams battling for playoff position. Last week, Carolina played Atlanta. Carolina was 8-3. Atlanta was 7-4. Again, the winner takes over first place. Carolina won at home. Now Carolina's home again, 9-3 against an 8-4 team in Tampa. They've met once before. Carolina won that decisively in Tampa. Mm-hmm. So this is a very, very important game for Tampa Bay if they hope to not only win the division but have a good chance to make the playoffs.
Now, I understand one of the other big games, the Colts at Jacksonville, a kind of a challenging weekend possibly for Peyton Manning, right?
Well, you're talking about a team that is undefeated. They are the best team in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. They are in the playoffs. We know that. And as soon as they clinch their division, then we'll find out how Tony Dungy, their head coach, wants to approach something that's only been done once before, and that's going through an entire season undefeated. I know he wants to be very careful and rest some of his players
right. And
make sure he doesn't get serious injuries going to the playoffs, but you have history in the making here, so there's going to be pressure on Indianapolis. This would normally be a game that you would look at and say it could be very tough for the Colts. Jacksonville is a strong defensive team, but with Byron Leftwich, their quarterback, out, they don't seem to have the offense that could really battle Indianapolis in this one. But I like the Colts in that matchup.
Let me just ask Buzz. Buzz, do you have any idea the last team to go undefeated, the only team to go undefeated in the history of the NFL?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know the answer to that.
I hope I know the answer. I think I know. Can I say?
Yeah.
Is it the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, of course it is. Buzz, for the remainder of your time with Sam,
yes.
Why don't you ask him anything you want, nothing to do with football.
Very good.
Ask him more like,
Let him wing it. Sports broadcaster, what's it like, life on the road, Sam?
Life on the road is at times difficult. This has been a busy week. I left home on Monday.
Uh-huh.
I went to St. Louis, did a hockey game in St. Louis Tuesday night. Went to Chicago, did a hockey game in Chicago Wednesday night. Was in Nashville last night for a hockey game, and then came to Charlotte this morning to meet with the Carolina Panthers to get ready for Sunday's football game. So it can be very hectic when you're involved in two sports the way I am, but I love the games and I love doing them, so I never complain about it.
It's you love what you do, and that's great. That's important. It's grueling. You're living out of hotels. May I ask, Sam, are you a married man?
I am a married man. My children are grown. My wife tells me she misses me, so I do believe her.
Well, very good, and I'm sure you miss her as well.
Very much so.
However, that eliminates an entire line of questioning for me.
Sorry, I couldn't help you out with that, guys.
How long have you been doing it? Sam, you know this as well as anybody, that there are guys who just would give both their limbs to be able to be sports broadcasters. How do you think you got so lucky that way?
I just love this. I love sports. I love what I do. I have a great passion for it, and I've dedicated myself to being around sports. When I played baseball through college, and when I reached the point where I couldn't hit the curveball effectively, I decided the next best thing to being around sports was being in the broadcast booth.
As much as you're doing
a yeoman's job.
Thank you, yeoman's.
As Barbara Harrison would say.
Yeoman's job. Mm-hmm. Let me just jump in here.
Oh, please. That would be great.
Sam, Bill Moss ever cut one real bad? like when you're enclosed?
I have to tell you, he's never done that. I will say this, though. Bill is a hefty man, as you know, a large person.
Yes.
Who likes to eat. So there are times when he has gone quiet for several moments, and that's because he is chewing and digesting his food.
Who was your partner, your broadcast partner, before Bill Maas?
Actually, with Fox, it's been Bill. Actually, I had 1 year with Jerry Glanville.
That's what I thought. Hey. I thought you had Glanville.
And how did you have to get shots afterwards or what?
No, the thing was you always had to walk behind Jerry on the street because he had to wave to all the fans.
Jerry's been on the show a lot. We like Jerry Glanville.
He is a great, great guy. I love Jerry.
In your opinion, Sam, what is the best stadium and what's the worst stadium to call a game in?
Oh, boy. Right now, probably the worst stadium is in Arizona because it's a college stadium on the campus of Arizona State University. The best one, there are a lot of good ones. These new ones are pretty good. The one in Washington, FedEx Field, is terrific. Great sight lines. The one here in Charlotte is outstanding. A lot of the new ones have catered very well to the network broadcast. They've moved other media out of the way for luxury suites, but the network broadcast locations are pretty good. So a lot of them, Seattle has got a good one, but I probably pin down, I would say the one in FedEx Field in outside of Washington is probably the best.
And I have a sportscaster question for you because you were mentioning you do hockey games. Is doing play-by-play hockey more difficult than doing the football? I know you do the you do both of them, but isn't hockey? You do TV for the
New York Rangers.
For the Rangers, is it harder to cover a hockey game than a football game?
I would say in a way it is because hockey is always there's always something going on. It's always moving. The game's going on. You can go 5 minutes without a stoppage of play. Football is very structured. You call a play. There's a run. He goes 3 yards. The analyst comes on, diagrams the telestrator, tells you what happened on the play, give it back to the play-by-play man. It's second and seven. So it's very structured. Hockey is frenetic, and you have to work at getting your analyst in while the play is going on, and players are changing while the play is going on. So that makes it a little bit
and on TV. And on TV, you're doing on hockey. You're doing like radio play-by-play on TV. I mean, that's the way games are called
on
TV.
More than you would do with other sports. Mostly for two reasons. One, the puck is so small, it's hard to see. So right. You have to let people know where they are. And because the players are changing all the time, you need to identify who's on the ice.
Okay, rapid fire. Here we go. Running out of time. Have you ever had a run-in with Jim Nantz from CBS Sports?
No run-ins. I just saw him at a March of Dimes luncheon last week. He's a great guy, great gentleman, and a nice guy to talk to.
That's too bad.
But you're looking for a little controversy there.
Yeah, I'm just throwing, seeing what's
sick. Jim Nantz, good friend of the show, been on a bunch of times.
But he's not right now.
And you've been searching for that dark underbelly of Jim Nantz for years.
We call him Nancy.
Right.
You should call him Nancy if you want to make it.
Oh,
laugh.
You guys are tough.
Now, let me ask you. How do I phrase this? Your field is dominated by jocks,
mm-hmm.
And more you've got, with no offense, dumb jocks coming into the booth, taking away jobs from guys like you and guys like me. First, very quickly, how do you feel about that? And what is it like being one of the few non-Gentiles in the booth?
I would say this. For the most part, jocks are not taking my job because I would like to believe I'm a professional broadcaster. The jocks usually go into the analyst area.
Right.
So I wouldn't venture into their role.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they don't venture into mine.
Right. But they do try. They do try, Sam, and when they try, they're awful.
You know, occasionally you need guys. You know, you have a guy like Pat Summerall who did it beautifully, a great great play-by-play announcer, did a lot of different sports and was outstanding. So some do it and do it well.
But technically,
basically what it gets down to is the guys who really work at it and don't think they're not just doing it to hang around the sports and continue to be jocks. They're doing it because they really want to be part of the profession and be professionals at it. And the second answer is... You know what? It's a wide open world, and I'm happy to be in it.
There you go. All right, well, Sam, we want to thank you for being on the show.
You're a class act, Sam. We appreciate you being a good sport.
Thanks, guys. A lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
All right, we'll see
thank
you later.
Thank you, Sam.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
There's Sam Rosen from Fox.
He's been at it a while.
31 years.
Really?
Yeah,
31 years.
Okay.
So you know what we forgot to do?
What?
We forgot to get Buzz's grade.
Oh, yeah.
Call him back. Call him back.
Because this one will last a lifetime.
Do you want to give Buzz a grade on that?
I give Buzz a B+.
I give him a D.
Really? On my weaker efforts?
I mean, don't take it personally.
No, not at all.
But
I'm intrigued. This is at the parent teacher conference right now. What do you base your grade on?
I think Buzz knows what we're looking for. I know that we threw it at you last minute and everything, but what we're looking for is really you are so freaking naive about sports.
Yes,
and know nothing
yes,
about sports.
Absolutely
you
true.
Just,
you were hoping for a total non-sports interview.
Yeah, or I was hoping for you really asking him questions like, you know, how do you hold the football to throw it?
Oh, no. I didn't expect him to teach me how to play. And I was grading Buzz on his ability to fake it.
Now, see, and I thought that you did, like, you just gave Sam Rosen softball questions that he was able to, and he did all the talking. You didn't
true.
Even do anything.
That's pretty much true. I thought that
do we have him
carried
back?
Well.
Hold on. Here he is joining us again.
Sorry to bother you again, Sam, but we forgot to have you grade Buzz Burbank.
Would you grade Buzz?
I thought this was an encore performance. You liked it so much, we're going to do some more.
Well, the most important part of this whole segment was for you to grade Buzz on his football interview.
Segment.
I have to tell you, Buzz really picked up and showed what a pro he is, so I have to give Buzz an A-.
An A-.
Oh, wow.
Kind.
Bull crap.
A-. Because he stayed in and he stayed within the context of what we were doing, and he led me into talking about the games without him having to put himself out on the line. Anyone tuning in would not know that Buzz does not know much about
football. I agree with Sam Rosen.
That's why I gave him such a bad grade.
Because you wanted him to demonstrate his lack of knowledge.
Who's the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Buzz?
I have no idea.
Come on, seriously.
I don't know. Tom Brady.
Okay, hey! Good.
You see
that?
He does know, you know.
That's pretty good.
I think Buzz is fooling. Maybe he's trying to fool the audience thinking he doesn't know, but he does.
Yeah.
Who is the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons?
I don't know my coaches, so I really don't have an answer for that.
I don't either.
Oh, Jim Mora Jr.
Jim Mora. I know his name. I just didn't know which team he was with this week.
I didn't know. I forgot. I forgot that.
Buzz.
Yes.
Who's the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks?
I don't know. I really don't. I'll know the name once you tell me. But
Matt Hasselbeck.
All right.
I bet you know this.
All right.
What TV show does his brother's wife work on?
Oh, I really don't know that.
I know.
Hi. Yes?
So that's Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and she's on The View.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
You're right. Sam, would you have a question for Buzz?
I don't think I have one for Buzz. I'm caught at a loss on that one. Buzz, what do you like in the game between Tampa Bay and Carolina?
Good question. Definitely Tampa Bay, no question.
Why, Buzz?
I've always liked that part of the country.
Buzz, do you know who the coach of the Bucks is?
No, I don't.
Okay, his nickname is Chucky.
Again, no.
First name, John.
Nope, sorry.
Any idea the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers?
No.
He might be on your fantasy team.
He might be.
All right, Sam, thank you for your time.
Thanks again, Sam.
Happy holidays, guys.
Thank you. Same
you
to
too.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jake DeLome, Buzz.
Jake DeLome.
These quarterback questions, listen. Now, look. Quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks, you have... For years, and I remember when you did it in London, England, with these cabbies and stuff. You know that better than anybody else. Those are not as easy questions as like for even a generic football fan.
Okay, but like the Tom Brady one, that was
Tom Brady
one.
Is softball.
You did nail that one.
Yeah, that was the Carolina Panthers, Seattle Seahawks. You get a little more obscure there with those.
You really don't know who the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks.
I knew it was Hasselbeck, but I didn't know which Hasselbeck it was.
Who is the quarterback for Mike? I'm trying to the Chicago Bears.
I have absolutely no idea.
Buzz?
Jim McMahon?
Oh.
You're right, Buzz. No, it's that kid Kyle Orton.
Wouldn't have known. Don't even know after you say it.
And I'm not. Yeah, I'm not coming off like
even now. And I'm more into the NFL.
Sports radio expert. No. Don't you guys ever watch the Bears are like 9-2 or something?
I hear they're very good. I watch football like I watch baseball. I am a one team guy. I could tell you everything about one team, but that's about it.
The Texans.
The Houston Texans.
I understand the Bears have quite a running game and quite a defense this year.
Where are you reading that?
I'm not reading it anywhere. I remember it from what I've recently read.
Who's the quarterback? Oh, you'll never get this one. Yeah, never mind. There's an injury there. Who's the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints?
Well, I don't know.
Mike, you've had him on your fantasy team before.
No, I don't think he has.
No, I don't think
I think you have. Well, celebrity he most resembles is Martin Lawrence. Buzz, no fair going to
Google. I'm not.
Joe Horn. Yes, Maggot, that's right. Quarterback Joe Horn of your New Orleans Saints.
I have no idea.
Aaron Brooks.
You watch football differently. You watch all the teams. You watch it. You watch the NFL Network. It's your favorite sport. You know.
I don't watch the Dick Eisen show.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. I do watch that show, even though he's
who's
on
the,
there.
Who last year was the starting shortstop for the Boston Red Sox?
Some Spanish guy. Am I right?
Faggot.
Hold on a second. Did I get the, was it a Hispanic guy?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
All right, 25%.
Who is it?
Edgar Renteria.
Okay, like I said, some Spanish guy.
A guy I didn't like, and they traded him yesterday. That's why I'm wearing my Red Sox jersey, though.
Happy.
Give me another one. Come on. I bet you.
A baseball question?
I bet you. It's
the third baseman for the New York Yankees.
Greg Nettles.
Fun.
You know the answer to that.
Really?
You've got to know that.
It's not Derek Jeter. Is it Alex Rodriguez?
Very good.
See?
There you
All
go.
Right.
Very good. That's pretty easy.
All right, give me another one then. Give me one more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a retard one, but not one that you think that, you know, that's so tough that I couldn't get. Because think of me with the baseball scale like we do with the football scale.
Who was the second baseman for the Texas Rangers that was just traded to the Washington Nationals?
Alfonso Soriano.
You win.
Wow.
Good for you.
Excellent.
All right, you know what?
Very nice.
I do not compete with you in that arena. You have passed me on the baseball scale to my comparison to you on the football scale, whatever the hell I just said.
I understood.
It was in the newspaper.
All right, ask me an easy football question now.
Easy football question. Mm-hmm. Who's the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals? He's colored.
Tony Dungy? No, he's the Jets coach, right?
No, but you're naming all the colored coaches.
Or is that Herm Edwards?
That's Herm Edwards. I love using colored.
Wait a minute. I didn't get it right.
No, he didn't get it right.
Has he coached, did he coach the Minnesota Vikings before?
You successfully danced around every brother coach in the league. Dennis Green is the fat guy you're thinking of.
Herm Edwards is the other coach.
Dennis Green's in Arizona.
Right.
Herm Edwards, coach of the New York Jets.
Yes. Tony Dungy.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
And
I'm out.
Come on.
Do I know this guy?
Yeah. Marvin Lewis. You've not heard of Marvin Lewis?
Was he a defensive coordinator for the Packers?
No, he was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens and the Redskins.
Who was the defensive coordinator for the black coach that was the defensive coordinator?
That colored man's name is Ray Rhodes.
Ray Rhodes.
He is now the defensive coordinator.
Ask me an easier question. That's not an easy
question. Cincinnati is, I hate to say this, it may be the hottest team in the
NFL
right now.
They are a juggernaut, yes, you're right about that.
Here's an easy one. Who's the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Bill Cowher.
Hey, very good.
Keep him coming.
Yeah,
I'm on a roll now.
Yeah.
Coaches and quarterbacks I'm very bad at. Now you give me strong safeties. I know them all by heart.
Always have.
Always have. Uh-huh. Always been partial to that position.
Mike?
Yeah.
Who?
I can't do this.
Who is the... here's an easy one. Who is... The number one wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts.
Marvin Harrison.
There you go.
Pretty good with that one.
Who's the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars that just got hurt? I'll give you a hint. He looks like, what's his name? Gary Coleman.
Oh, God.
It's Byron Leftwich.
Oh, I knew that.
Byron Leftwich. And now welcome.
Give me some receiver questions. I'm great at receivers.
Welcome to the part of the show that we call Moron Quiz.
Okay,
a receiver question.
I'd like to be a better NFL fan.
He is. He wears number 19 for the Dallas Cowboys.
Terry Glenn?
No, Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson. Receiver questions. Can you name the starting wide receivers for the Indianapolis Colts?
I cannot. Marvin Harrison would be the only one that
I know. Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Brandon Stokley. Let me see. Okay.
I know for the New England Patriots, there's Deion Branch.
He's on your fantasy team.
Right. I know for the Jacksonville Jaguars, there's Jimmy Smith.
He's on your fantasy team. Okay, hold on a second.
I know for the Denver Broncos, there's Rod Smith.
He's on your fantasy team. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hi there.
How many ways are there to score in the NFL?
See, now, I don't want to make myself out as the sports guru here, because I'm not. I'm just busting balls with the guys.
There are four ways to score.
No, you're wrong.
How many ways have I been doing? Now, don't jump into it. Tell me, because I'll try to guess.
Okay, there are five ways.
There's a safety, touchdown, field goal, a touchdown,
field goal, extra point, safety, and what's the other one?
The double extra point?
No, it's the free kick. Free kick at the end of a half, at the end of a quarter. If they catch a punt and call for a fair catch, they can line up uncontested and kick a field goal.
It's a 3-point free kick.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
How many ways are there to feel better with the fact that that guy's never been laid?
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Bagel
zero.
Hello.
Yeah, I wanted to challenge you to this, Don. Let Mike throw out some positions.
Let Mike throw out positions?
Sexual?
Throw out some positions and see if I can name more than you. For different teams.
That's all right. We'll do sexual positions.
All right. Very
good. All right. Reverse cowboy.
That's sick. That's sick. I don't like doing that. I bet Sam Rosen doesn't either. He and his beautiful wife.
Oh, God.
Rosen? Effie Rosen.
Sally. I like Effie better.
Effie.
Effie Rosen.
Call her Effie for a reason. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Just wanted to say, Don, you are proving that the black is the better athlete.
I believe this is a black
Mrs.
woman.
Is this Mrs. Jimmy the Greek calling
in? No, I'm pretty sure this is a sister calling in.
Mm-hmm. It is a sister.
Yeah. Mrs. Jimmy the Greek.
Hello there, baby.
Sexy.
Oh, wow. We're having a little hot interracial love on this show right now.
I know all the black coaches.
Yeah, baby.
Even the light-skinned one, like Tony Dungy. Hello there, Tony.
See you later.
See, she gets the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
How's it going?
Hi there.
Dubinsky.
What was that?
Dubinsky.
That's when Deion Sanders tried to say Terry Rubinsky.
Dubinsky.
He called him Rubinsky.
Dubinsky.
Yes, hello, Don and Mike show. Are you there? You're on the air. Hurry, we got to take a break.
It's you, sir. Go ahead.
Hello?
I believe you said, how you doing?
How's that?
Okay, well, you know, I wanted to take that call because Joe put up on the screen, this guy says, they did away. Todd? Thank you for the name, Joe. Todd?
Hey, how's it going?
Come on, Todd. What the hell are you doing?
Sorry, guys.
Where were you with the what? That's Todd and the Wet Sprocket. Is that the name of that?
Let me see if I've got this.
Toad and the Wet Sprocket.
Did Todd have like a little obscure detail about the NFL that only Todd knew?
From what Joe put on the screen.
Hold on.
He's not a Jaguar.
All right.
You might be interested in what he has to say.
Okay, go ahead, Todd.
They did away with the free kick rule this year.
So four was... Well, that means you were right.
Hold on.
He's backing you up. I don't care.
Would you stop it? The guy was saying that we had it right. There's only four ways to win big in the NFL.
Yeah, but we only said...
Four big ways to win big.
But we only said 11 times you're on the air. What was the matter, Todd?
I hung up on him.
Oh, bye, Todd.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
The Don and Mike Show. Please remember to wake them and feed them a cherry pie. The Don and Mike Show.
Don.
How are you, friend?
I'm okay. I'm a big bowl of okay.
All right. How was your hollow day? How was your turkey day?
Well, it was fine.
Come on now. Don't go reaches on me.
It's okay.
Give me first.
It was okay for this reason.
Okay.
The other way, I'm kind of like still burping.
I was going to tell you something on Thanksgiving morning, and
yes.
I'll tell you now. That now I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV.
Yeah.
I have kind of a raspy voice, and it comes naturally to me.
Yes.
Okay, there are days when my voice is great,
right.
Days when it's not so great. Today
right.
would be like the average. This is, for me, this is it, my whole career. Now, Mike, you have a great voice. And there are some times.
I should say thank you.
There are some times recently that I've noticed, like with Charlie.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Charlie's sick.
Yeah.
How's Charlie today?
Charlie probably be a little rough today.
Oh, no, see.
That's
a good start.
Charlie wasn't that good when I talked to you on Thursday morning. Oh. But that's also at 8 o'clock in the morning.
But hold on. I don't think that these issues are alcohol related.
I might be inclined to agree with you.
My guess is that you, much like Jessica Simpson's sister, you have acid reflux. Because didn't you say to me that you eat this crap in the middle of the night and then you get up and you...
I have the kind of people that have acid reflux. I don't know whether Buzz has had this, but it's the kind of acid reflux. And after I ate this stuffing from Fat Paula on the Food Network...
All the butter in it.
That had the butter.
Right.
I had the kind of acid... And this is after taking a Pepcid before I went to bed, which I do every night. I sat up in bed and I had the kind of acid reflux where it literally... chokes you.
Okay, yes. See,
where you choke. You've had this before, right, Buzz?
Yes.
Where you bolt up in bed and you feel like you're choking to death.
If I get up in the middle of the night and have peanut butter because of the oil content of it, I'll wake up like a half hour later, you jump out of bed with that burning.
What the hell is this? Is this the reflux?
Yes.
The reflux.
Acid reflux.
The reflux.
Pomo.
But I sit up in bed.
Duran.
I'm thinking the over-the-counter stuff that I take might not be doing the trick.
Yeah,
I think I got to go. Because, do you remember a couple of years ago when I had, raspy voice, kind of like laryngitis, and I didn't know what it was?
Right.
And I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor who said the reason for that is reflux. I said, what? You're saying acid indigestion is the reason? He said, absolutely. That's a major,
I think so,
major cause of that, and I think I got to go back to her.
You told me on Thanksgiving morning that you had only had, like 6 or 8 beers.
Yeah, maybe more than that.
Well, still, how many then?
No, probably, yeah. That's probably close.
More than 6, fewer than 12.
Because he said, yeah.
I'd have to ask. I was speaking to a waitress over the weekend who disputed, who said, well, that's how many I served you. And I know that so-and-so, it was one of those conversations.
What's she saying?
Well, she said she served me like 6.
Right.
And she knew that so-and-so had served me like 4.
Right. Oh.
So that immediately takes it over that 8
mark. But still, there have been plenty of nights you've had 10 beers, and your voice is fine. I really think that it's the food.
It was stupid what I did. Because what I did was, this stuff you make the dressing with butter, that's how she starts. That's her whole rap, is her whole southern thing. I'm mad at her because not only did I have this sitting bolt upright in bed, not only was this dressing that I made too wet, it had too much stock in it.
Great big fart.
But the basically Carla's family that I cooked for on Thanksgiving, really, when you see people eating all the dishes you have on the table, and then you have the one thing that has like a little square out of it, and no one else is touching it,
right.
And I completely understand that.
Yeah.
And it's because this recipe that I made was just horrible, and it just came out. Look, I went by the book, and I made this recipe. Maybe I shouldn't have made it at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I did it by the book. I made the cornbread. I got the dry bread that you dry in the oven. And you know what she says on the Food Network website when I went to it?
What?
It says, easy preparation, 10 minutes or less. You have to bake a cornbread before, right there, that's not 10 minutes of preparation.
That doesn't count in the prep.
Well, that's
like, that
BS.
I've
had it. The whole Food Network has pissed me off.
That is just like the hype with the magic bullet.
Right?
Really?
You're probably right.
Because
it's probably just like, because it's on the television. I said, doesn't that look great?
Don't they keep saying with the magic bullet?
Yum, yum.
You can make all of these items in 10 seconds or less.
Yeah.
And there's no way that you can make all the omelet and the stuff that Gladys...
And she's got the perfect measured stuff that she throws in, and it looks so easy. It's great.
Right. The lady's name is not Gladys, but the lady that's sitting at the end of the breakfast bar, if you've ever seen the infomercial for the Magic Bullet, where she says she's got the cigarette hanging out of her mouth, and she goes, "Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. Making dinner. You try doing that." And then the guy goes, "Well, are you kidding me? How about pasta primavera in less than 30 seconds?
Yeah. And it's not. And there it is on the shiny TV in her fancy kitchen, in her southern house, making this crap that I thought I could make, and I didn't, and I blew it, and it sucked, and I was mad.
That's one dish. I wouldn't worry about it.
I don't want to give nothing away, but I want everyone to know that I purchased 2 Magic Bullets over the weekend. On the intranet.
Really?
Yeah. For Christmas gifts.
That is so exciting.
Because I love the infomercial so much.
Really?
But only 2 of you will be getting them.
Really?
Only 2 of you. Well, and first we can take BA out of the running.
All right.
Okay?
Yes, because, of course, as you and I both discussed, she'll get nothing in like it.
That's right. She's lucky she's working here the next 3 weeks before she leaves for her next cherry gig.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's good. So she's out of the running. What do you got there?
She already has a magic bullet.
What is this?
Should we try to call her? That's the stuffing lady.
The stuffing lady.
From the Food Network.
That gave Mike the bad recipe.
You want to try to call her a restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Mike's not happy with her.
No, I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to say that it was too wet. It was too moist. There's
too
much.
Too wet.
There's too much stock.
It's too wet.
Soaking.
God, that's wet.
Here, I'm bitching him the whole time, but if, like, we ever got to talk to her, I'd be, like, starstruck.
Nah, don't be.
I would.
No, you should.
I'd say, listen, I wouldn't say that your recipe made it too moist. I would say, I think I probably didn't do things correctly.
No, you know who else has acid reflux? That chick, Rita Cosby.
Which one is she?
She's the one I told you on MSNBC. She's just slightly plump, and she's got
voice.
And she's got the Florence Henderson Brady Bunch mom haircut.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Well, I get tired of watching the Food Network and making recipes and having them come out bad.
Being heartbroken, sure, of course.
I wasn't heartbroken. I was just upset,
of course.
Getting through to the business office.
The business office. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry, Mike. We're off track here.
I had an okay holiday. Big bowl of okay. I was melancholy.
Oh, dear.
You know, for a variety of reasons.
No.
Holidays, now look, I know, believe me, I can't trump you on this, but holidays are not the cartwheel, jump up and down deal for me, because you have to do a lot of arranging, as far as, the kids are going to, if the kids aren't around, and I could have had my kids on Thanksgiving. Everything's fine in that department. I chose not to. We were having a lot of grown-ups come over, so that was fine. I will have another holiday. I'm thinking maybe next year, Thanksgiving, I will have my kids. And I don't know, that didn't sound right, did it? That didn't really sound right at all. That didn't sound
really
good. Sounds like a long time, doesn't it? Yeah, probably because it is.
You'll see the
pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
But I had hurt myself on Monday.
How's Easter look for you, guys?
Easter's fine. Easter's another one. I had
Elizabeth Catherine.
Well, I will have my kids prior to Christmas.
It's Daddy.
And the whole...
It's Mike O'Mara.
The whole thing. It's fine. It's fine.
How's President's Day for you girls?
How's that work for you? It's going to be just fine. Now, the holidays are the holidays. The holidays are something that I enjoy the break. I enjoy the downtime. And other than that, the holidays are a time to get through. I swear to God, that's the way I look at it. I wish I could be, I could lie and say, hey, fantastic, whatever, but no, it's just the way I approach it. And maybe I won't always approach it that way, but it's the way I approach it now. And I cooked. I enjoyed that. We had a great little feast. People came over. I had some friends visit. It was fine. And then the day after.
It was fine. Use that word again. It was fine.
The day after was a day of rest. Yeah. Which I haven't done in a very long time, where I literally took the whole day. I wasn't feeling that well on Thanksgiving, and I wasn't feeling that well on Friday. Oh. And so Friday, I did what which you would think with me coming in here and reclining, you would think that I do this a lot, but it has occurred to me that I do not do it a lot. And we didn't get through to her.
No one there.
Of course.
I could leave a message if you want to order a cookbook.
They're busy. I would, actually.
See,
here I am putting her down. I'm sorry.
Don't do that.
I get sucked in. What I was going to say is Friday was a day where I stayed in bed most of the day. Like the entire day.
Hey,
because, wow. No, let me tell you why I did this. I did this for two reasons. Before you start mocking me, and I know you like to mock me.
No. Think about you in bed.
No.
All day. Saturday.
Friday.
I'm sorry, Friday.
I stayed in bed because, A, I was feeling kind of on Thanksgiving, and then I was feeling worse the day after because as bad as I was feeling, I ate anyway. I didn't have anything to drink all day on Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And I ate a lot, and I just felt kind of blah, and it really was from what I had done on Monday, which I'm sure on a certain level you can relate to what that absinthe does to your tummy. It makes it pretty upset. Don't look at me and say, you said you felt bad when you woke up on Friday even though you went home.
Yeah, I was hungover.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's I upset my stomach a lot more because I'd had the 23 days without drinking, and I think my stomach hasn't been right since then.
Yeah.
Finally got around to feeling better on Sunday.
Hold on, doctor.
What?
Your stomach.
I'm just telling you the truth here.
No. Hold on. Your stomach had not been feeling right for the 23 days that you
My stomach hadn't felt right since Monday's show when I did the absinthe.
Okay,
after
drinking for 23 days. Okay, I'm with you.
And I blacked out, and only I, and, you know, for me to black out takes a lot. Believe me, even at this stage of the game, and I know you're a regular maintenance drinker, it still takes me a lot more to black out.
What happens to you? Do you white out?
Yes, I do.
Rob always whites out.
Only.
The purest, most beautiful white you've ever seen.
So I actually stayed in bed all day. And the second reason was not only that I wasn't feeling well, but I was fighting the hype because the hype is Friday's the day. Everybody gets up early, goes out to the stores, does all the crap. And I didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Rob doesn't.
I agree.
You know why either?
Why doesn't he?
Black Friday.
I chose not to do anything, and I enjoyed it. And then went to, because it is the holiday weekend, there's only one thing I believe that it's for. Thanksgiving weekend, you have to gamble a little bit.
Did you go to Atlantic City?
No, I did not.
Did you go, on the internet?
No.
What'd you do then?
I went to the racetrack. Went to the where they have the slot machine. Charlestown.
Now I'm not.
Yeah, why are you saying no? It's an hour away.
I'm not busting your balls.
It's an hour away.
After you spend the day in bed.
Right.
And everything, and then when you went to the racetrack.
During any of this time, did you see your kids?
No. No, the kids were away. They went up with my ex-wife to her family in New Jersey, so they were away for the whole weekend.
Because I know that they like horses.
No, I wouldn't take my kids to the racetrack unless it was absolutely necessary. I wouldn't do that.
Whatever happened to that pony you bought them?
They have it. It's actually closer to their house now. We moved it from my friend's house to a stable that's very close to them, and they see it almost on a daily basis.
Were they having races?
And they have another horse now, too.
Were they actually having races that day, Uncle Buck?
They were going to have. They were going to have races that night. We didn't stay.
No.
I did not fancy the machines they had in this location.
Do they still make you, like, get a redeem a coupon?
The slot machines, right?
They don't have any other gambling except slots of fun. And it's a brand. I hadn't been there in, like, 15 years.
No offense, Mike. I've always thought this, though. Slot machines are gambling for retards. Really. I mean, if you just want to sit there,
can I ask you a question? Can I ask you something?
And pull the goddamn lever. At least when they're dealing your cards.
And what are you saying?
I'm not talking about you, friend. I'm talking about somebody
else. What's that supposed to mean?
That's a company excluded.
No. That's the reason we actually left.
If you're playing blackjack or something, at least you got to add up in your mind. Right. 4 and 9 is 13.
You don't gamble like I do. Gambling is cyclical. Gambling is you have one game that burns you. Then you get tired of it, so you go to another game. I got down to slots after I've been beaten down by all the other games. I'm back to blackjack now. I'm back to enjoying blackjack, and I don't enjoy it. It comes and goes. I bet other people that gamble a lot probably feel the same way. And the slot machines, it gets to the fact, if you're not winning, and you never win in all of gambling, you're always, the averages are always going to show you that you lose.
The house always wins, Mike.
If you don't win at all, you get bored. And that's how it works. Then you move on to the next game. Maybe you win a little bit, maybe you lose a little bit, you get bored again, and then you move on. That's the way I look at it. And so we got bored with it. And
also what the Green Bay Packers are doing this year.
I got bored.
They lose and they get bored, and then they lose and they get bored
this
again.
This got to a point where I was so mad at this one lady. This one lady who The celebrity she most resembles would probably be... this is an old reference, so I'm not sure. I'll try to modernize it. I'll say she looked like Macy Gray. She looked like Macy Gray. And she was next to me, and she's manically going between two machines.
All right.
And I got... There's only one pay line, and you can only put one token in the machine.
G-Wack, I hate you. I hate your big, fat,
Macy Gray
head.
And anybody that gambles can relate to this, okay? I'm sitting there, and I'm losing, and I'm losing, and losing. All of a sudden, on the pay line, I get the triple diamond, you know, the little triple diamond icon.
Oh,
and it goes, bing, bing, with the two, and it's and I got two of them, right?
All
and right. It's a $5,000 jackpot if I get the third one.
Right.
And she touches me. And now look, I was going to lose anyway, right? But it's the psychological thing of I got the two triple diamonds and she grabs my arm.
She took your mojo.
And I know that she looked, yep, you're exactly right. Uh-huh. She took my mojo clean away.
Yep.
And I looked at her and I said something along the lines of if this was Atlantic City and she was a guy, she probably wouldn't have that hand left. Because I was pissed off.
Damn, that's what I said to her. Damn.
So I looked at her and said this. Right here. And I was holding her wrist.
Lady!
I was pissed off. And we left shortly thereafter because the food wasn't that good. It was just not fun at all.
Hold on. Let me make sure. This is the place I've seen Sam Huff doing commercials, right? It's
Charlestown
Races and Slots.
Mm-hmm.
The password, antibacterial wipes.
Probably a good idea.
Everywhere.
Lots of old people.
Yeah.
Well, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sam Huff.
Lots of old people.
Uh-huh.
And we got there. We wanted to make it a day trip, so we would have had to stay for another 3 hours to make the horse race. I would like to see the horse races because I like to watch horses race,
right.
But I didn't stay for that. We didn't stay. We got bored. And it was Carla's suggestion. Carla said, you know, basically indicated this can't possibly remotely suck anymore. Why don't we leave? And I concurred. And so we left after that and got home in time to make it another night. And I should have called you on Sunday. I should have called you early on Sunday.
You got bombed again?
Yeah.
How bad?
Just average. But it was good.
Okay. All right.
It was average? It was a much later night
average
than it was
for
to
you?
Get bombed. No, later than average. Much later evening. The evening ended like in the wee hours.
You got that last night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. How late? 3?
Nope.
4.
4.
4 a.m. Yeah.
Maybe later.
God
maybe
damn,
like
you're the
maybe like bedtime by 4:30.
Yeah. Super liver, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Super liver.
Yeah, but just you know, slow down. That's the big sign I'm getting up in the sky.
Yeah.
Slow down, Pachango. Slow down. Put it into second gear. You are in sixth gear now. You
can't
must
do it.
Put it into second
now,
gear.
Can't do it. You know why? UI Ferrari, my friend.
That's just gonna. After the first of the year, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go to the whole thing where they probe you and they prod you and they do that. And I'm gonna find out once and for all because I know that all is not right with the world and somebody's gonna tell
that's
me to stop. Somebody's gonna tell me to stop doing something. I know that's gonna. I know I'm at that stage.
What
in my career of drinking?
What point of your body were you looking at? I mean, were you pointing at there? Your stomach.
Tummy. It's just too much. Too much. And I don't do hard liquor. I don't, you know, I drink beer. That's what I drink. But, I mean, it's just too much. Too much. And I occasionally have a little, you know, knock one back, a little shot of rue.
I know you do. You wink at me like you're telling me some big freaking secret. You know, I mean, you own a bar.
When I wink at you, I'm winking at myself.
You own a bar.
When I'm looking at you, I'm sometimes looking in the mirror.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
You own a bar. You're there most nights of the week. You look at me and you go...
I'm not there most nights of the week. I'm there 2 to 3 nights a week.
You look at me and you go, I just have an occasional shot. Like I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That you love the redheaded slut.
Now you remember that, huh?
Of course I do.
It's a good one. You'd love that.
They are tasty.
You'd love that. You'd absolutely, because it's got that that juice you like in it. That cranberry crap.
Cranberry.
Yeah. That's why you'd like it, because it's like a little palate cleanser.
Yeah. And Buzz?
Yes.
If I could just take one moment.
Well, sure.
To say what a heartless bastard I think you are.
How so?
We've been on the air now 1 hour and almost 22 minutes on my mark.
Right.
And there you go. And have you even mentioned... That it's your number one bitch's birthday today?
Whoa!
No, I hadn't had a chance to yet.
Oh,
but
come
yes.
on. You could have right at the very beginning with High Dynamite.
Marcia?
It
fascinating.
Marcia is celebrating a birth today?
It should have been High Dynamite, Buzz Burbank here. I want to say hi to my number one bitch of 30 years, Marcia, who today is having a birthday. Yes. Today is your wife, Marcia's birthday.
That is correct. I got her luggage. Not subtle enough.
Oh, dear.
Whoa!
No, I got her some other stuff,
That's
too.
Way harsh.
She wanted it, and she was really pleased with it. And she'll get other things as well.
Is she going away?
With luggage, all things are possible.
Man.
And of course,
didn't we send luggage to other disc jockeys one time?
Yes, we did. We sent luggage to Elliot Woodstock.
Yeah, we
just
did.
To Jim Elliot one time.
Right.
Now, I love using the European pronunciation of your wife's name. Of course, it's Marcia.
Yes, with an F-H.
Marcia.
I enjoy Marcia.
Marcia.
Marcia is lovely, wonderful.
Yes.
It was a week ago this evening where I was spending some quality time with her.
That's right. It was nice.
Anyway, happy birthday to your wife, Buzz.
Well, happy birthday, Marcia.
Happy birthday.
And I hope that you get her something nicer than luggage.
Oh, I did. Yeah. I got her a bunch of nice stuff to put in the luggage. That didn't come out right.
That did not come out right. One who is listening to you who just tuned in would think you're encouraging her to leave you.
No, no, no. Not at all. No, she wanted new luggage. She's very pleased with the new luggage.
You would like her to take a vacation.
When we travel, and when she travels, then she has nice luggage.
And as she travels.
When she travels.
Right.
Like, have you two thought about separate vacations?
No, I don't believe we have.
Has
a couple.
Have either one of you?
Yeah, he just answered that as a couple. So how many pieces of luggage did you give your wife?
Just a couple. Just a carry-on, a standard carry-on like a pilot would use, and then, you know, a bag that you put on the pull stick.
And one leak-proof steamer trunk.
That's right. Leak-proof is important.
With a one-way ticket to everywhere.
That's right.
Take this to Valley High.
All right, there's the boat. It goes very slow. Final destination, China.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tony Perkins has gone coast to coast to California's capital, Sacramento. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Chief. Good morning, everybody. For Good Morning America, for Railfare 99, or the nationally syndicated Don and Mike radio shows in town today. These folks are excited.
The Don and Mike Show. Listen to them, and you will turn to butter. The Don and Mike Show.
Very simply, ladies and gentlemen.
Explain yourself.
Right. This is where, now we don't use the fake voices.
Right.
We don't do the Larry King thing.
No.
This is just something so stupid that the guy had to explain himself.
And we see how well he does.
Maybe you've seen this guy on TV on some of the pregame shows. He's the idiot that's gone to every NFL stadium and has tailgated everywhere.
Oh.
And the NFL has now sanctioned him as the commissioner of tailgating.
And that's worth its weight in gold.
And Mike, I know you're looking for like a prep sheet.
I was told we don't have that. I was told we don't have that. I was already told that.
Oh, no, I thought you were looking for it.
I wasn't looking for that.
I don't got it either. So who knows?
Rob just said he's the president of tailgating.
No, he's the commissioner.
The commissioner of tailgating. See, well, if it had been written down, I would have known it.
Please get it right.
Right. Sorry about that.
Okay, so let's welcome now to the show. What's his name? Joe. Joe Kahn.
Joe Kahn. Hey, maybe it is a con.
Hey, Joe?
Yes?
Hi, welcome to the Don and Mike Show. You are the commissioner of tailgating.
That is correct. You know, being a commissioner is not an easy job. This year I'll travel to 47 stadiums. I'll cover about 35,000 miles. That number is significant because I got Campbell's Chunky Soup to donate cans per mile.
Good. Listen, the whole thing with this, Joe, if you'll just, I think we understand the concept. We had just one real simple question for you.
Yes.
About being the commissioner of tailgating. Here you go.
Yes.
Explain yourself.
Well, it's very simple. You know that tailgating needed a commissioner, and the first year I did this.
Hold on.
Explain yourself.
Explain that, please.
Well, 1996, I went to every stadium in the NFL, and...
Okay, stop.
Explain yourself.
Explain that, please.
And now I walk around and eat everybody's food.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but let's get back to the beginning.
Yes, we need an explanation. The commissioner of tailgating.
1996, I went to every stadium in the NFL. I was the king of tailgating.
Okay.
explain yourself.
Stop right there.
We like ourselves, don't we, Joe?
Yeah, that's all right. In 1997, that I realized kings can be overthrown, but commissioners are for life.
Explain that comment.
Explain yourself.
We all know you can't get a commissioner out of office, and that's why I'm the commissioner tailgating. I am the lifetime commissioner.
Okay, again,
explain yourself.
Explain that comment. How are you the lifetime commissioner of tailgating?
Well, I was named commissioner of tailgating in 1997 at NFL headquarters. Happened that I named myself, but I don't think that really matters.
Now, that requires an explanation also.
Explain yourself.
See, to us on this segment, we call explain yourself, everything matters.
And
that's all right. Okay.
When you toss out something like you named yourself commissioner and then the NFL got involved, well, we need to know, you must explain yourself.
All the details, Joe. All the details.
I had the microphone. I was at a press conference that I was leading for the NFL, new NFL family cookbook, and I named myself.
Explain that. Did you write the cookbook?
No, they just decided they needed someone authoritative.
How did that work? Explain that to us.
Explain yourself.
What, Joe?
Yes.
Explain that part. How they needed somebody with a microphone. How did that work, Joe?
Well, I owned a cooking school in New Orleans. They wanted an authority on tailgating, having been to every stadium in the NFL, and that's how I was.
Yo, let's talk about
explain yourself.
The cooking back in New Orleans.
The cooking and how that got you hooked into the NFL.
Well, the cooking, because I love to eat and I love to cook, and that's what tailgating is about.
Oh, let's stop again now.
Explain yourself.
This is why this is such a good segment. Why do you love food? You know, we're like a doctor. We probe and, we get to
why
the issues.
Why do I love food? I'll tell you, because food is what we were all based on. And I want to say that being...
I believe both Mike and I know evolution and reproduction. Explain to us your last comment.
Well, of course, you know that eating a brat will make you a happier person.
Well, that's easy, but how is that...
No, I'm confused now.
Explain yourself.
Did you have any financial interest in this to start out with?
Yes, I did.
Explain that, please.
Explain yourself.
I bought a motorhome and paid for all the gas and paid for all the lodging and paid for all the parking and just got
no, I'm sorry,
tickets.
Joe, I was talking about the start of this whole thing when you went to NFL headquarters. Did you have a financial interest in that?
No, not at all.
Did they pay you to be there? Did they pay you to be there?
No. I was one of the honored guests.
Oh, okay. All right. Why were you an honored guest? That requires an explanation. Yes.
Explain yourself.
Where did I explain myself? There it is. Yeah, I was looking for the button there. I couldn't find a button.
After some rich pregame food, do you ever suffer from fecal urgency?
No. I just I am being.
Explain yourself.
How can that be? I see the ads for the Campbell's chili with the guys outside where they say this is hearty food. How could that be that you?
I would imagine that there'd be some discomfort.
Some fu.
Oh no, not at all. But if you're out of training, if you're out of shape year round, you will have no discomfort.
Here's something you don't have to explain. Can we get your current height and weight, please?
My current height and weight. I think I'm about 7'2".
No. Our listeners demand the truth.
Please tell us the truth.
Okay, I'm 5'9" and about 235.
Great big fart.
Just about Sam Mills size. I mean, good for a linebacker.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't it be ironic if someday you died of starvation?
It would be ironic. It would be ironic because there's way too much food. And
Joe, what do you do for a living?
I'm the commissioner of tailgating.
No, what?
Explain yourself.
So the NFL, compensates you?
No, the NFL doesn't compensate me at all.
How do you make a living?
Well, I get corporate sponsors.
We got one. That's why we do explain yourself, because now it's becoming clear.
Okay, I get corporate sponsors, part of it, and the rest I pay for.
Are you independently wealthy?
No, but I do some cooking shows and some cooking classes that allows me to buy a beautiful 2005 Country Coach 40-foot that I bought this year.
How did you do 32 stadiums in 16 weeks?
Well, because you have, like, this week, I am right now at West Virginia, though I'll see the West.
Explain yourself.
West Virginia tonight, Annapolis on Saturday. I will do Baltimore at 1 o'clock on Sunday and Washington at 8 o'clock on Sunday.
What is the worst thing you ever ate just because it had cheese melted on it?
Whew, man, that's a, I don't know, something like these cheese whiz nachos or something. But I'll tell you, the worst I ever had was at Penn State when somebody gave me Scrapple with chocolate on top.
Hey, what if that wasn't chocolate? You know what I'm saying?
God, that's nasty.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That is bad, but this commissioner, Scrapple. You have to eat it.
What is your current income?
Be somewhere in the, I think about $6 million, $7
million.
Explain yourself.
Explain that comment.
Now, listen, I understand no one likes to admit their salary. Do you make enough? Do you make enough that you can make a living being the commissioner of tailgating?
You know, I did before the gas went up.
Is it seriously affecting you?
Oh, I'll tell you that the highest I paid this year was in California.
To fill up the mobile home?
Yeah, the motor home. The motor home. The mobile home is where you have tornadoes.
Right.
$3.75 a gallon.
What a guy he was.
In a 100-gallon tank.
$3.75.
And what is your accepted hand-washing frequency?
At least 15 times a day.
15 times.
Hold on. Will you say that again? I'm going to hook you up to the lie detector. How many times a day do you wash your hands, sir?
14 times. 13, 12. Oh, my God.
Do you have a regular house?
No, just my motorhome. I live full-time in my motorhome.
Wow. Do you really live full-time in your motorhome, Joe?
I do, and that was one of the, I'll tell you, one of the tragedies of almost like survivor's guilt of New Orleans. I'm from New Orleans. I live in New Orleans full time.
But you have a motorhome.
Right. You could still live. You could still live there.
And I just drove out.
Yeah. So this is your job.
This is my job. I get to travel around. This year, I'll do NASCAR. I'll do Jimmy Buffett. I'll do some drag racing. I'll do some steeplechase.
You're really whoring it to everybody. You used to just be with the NFL. Now you're getting.
But at least we got to the bottom of it. That's why we do explain yourself.
Explain yourself.
I think he's
to make money and to be full.
To make money and to be full.
I think he's fully explained himself.
I think so.
There it is. There it is. Life is good.
The NFL is okay with you going to NASCAR.
The NCAA is happy. Now, the only thing, of course, is about the being commissioner. I do have to explain myself.
Of all the cities that you visit, what fans would you describe as the biggest pigs? And I mean that in an eating frenzy way. Who are the biggest pigs?
Easy frenzying way. Are we talking NFL or are we talking college?
How about NFL?
I would probably have to say the pigs of the NFL
are probably
in New York.
Oh,
yeah.
New York.
And how is the sex, Kamish?
How is the what?
The sex on the road.
Well, I'll tell you, if some beautiful young lady knocks on my door late at night, I think two words, Kobe Bryant.
So are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Hold on. If a chick knocks on your door, what, you would be accused of rape the next day? Please,
explain yourself.
It has to do with the bratwurst and hot sauce.
Something tells me if a girl knocks on his door, he better let her out.
Oh, that's what it was.
I didn't know
it was a knock on the door.
Joe, are you
looking out?
Are you a single guy?
I am a single guy.
And you're a heterosexual male?
Yes, I am.
And do you ever hook up on the road?
Occasionally, somebody wants to stir my pot.
Good answer.
All right. That's right.
Unrelated, Joe, before you were on our previous break, we were discussing fat chicks and Kirstie Alley and the alleged weight she'd lost and breaking the seal. How do you feel about fat chicks? I mean,
I think they serve a purpose to show people that you can eat a lot of food.
And they also serve a purpose to show that there are some women, because of their weight, will do absolutely any act, no matter how degrading, simply because they're looking for approval.
And I'll ask you know what?
Is that not true? That's been my experience. Come on, fatty. And here we go. Yeah. Dad's a good girl. Now, no. Bend over the other way. Roll over. Hey, look what I got. Reese's peanut butter cups.
I have a legitimate softball question for you, Joe.
Softball, okay.
Who in the NFL, NFL city, seriously, who has the best food? The best food that if you were to go to a parking lot in an NFL city where you could go from car to car to car, SUV to SUV, who would have the best quality of food? Legitimate question.
Well, I'll tell you, Tennessee and Kansas City have just incredible barbecue. Incredible
mm-hmm.
barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, fan for fan, I have to say that almost New York, because of the diversity of the different types of food.
Right. Okay.
Diversities.
Pretend we, Don and I, are tailgating at Jack Ken Cook Stadium. How would you approach us?
If we were out in Raljohn, Maryland.
I would walk up, and because you guys are manly men.
Yes, we are. Thank you. Thank
and, you know, have that heterosexual look on my face saying, how did you cook that? How did you cook those ribs?
Okay.
You, of course, would be so proud,
mm-hmm.
and you'd say, here, have some.
Okay.
Or if that doesn't work, I give you my card and say, you know, I'm the commissioner of tailgating. I need to taste that.
Now, see, you got to be careful, because you walk up to the wrong guy at the stadium, he's going to give you a bratwurst.
Well,
taste.
He'll give you. That's right. He'll give you the bratwurst.
In your thousands of miles of travel, have you ever had your ass kicked?
Well, no, never, because being the commissioner, I'm neutral, and wherever I am, I wear the team colors.
Have you ever seen Jim Nantz of CBS Sports wearing women's clothing?
Only a pants, when women wear pants. I'm not sure about some of the styles of pants.
Have you ever pulled John Madden's finger?
Only with the six-legged turkey.
You know, that's the big thing that he has every Thanksgiving. Don and I tailgate with delicious frittatas.
I pulled his leg, I think. I didn't pull his finger.
All right. Okay. Well, you explained yourself, Joe.
You sure did. I think we've gotten the gist of everything that Joe Kahn has to offer.
Absolutely.
Joe, good luck. I hope you don't get...
On the road, and let's grill one for the Gipper.
Yeah, let's hope you don't get the crap kicked out of you this weekend in either Baltimore or here in D.C.
Thank you, Joe.
Good luck.
I'll see you down the road.
No, you won't.
There you bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's how we play.
Explain yourself.
That was... I believe that, you know, we've done that a bunch of times. I believe that was a textbook example of explain yourself.
That'll do on the manual.
You know, because really that was a guy that needed to explain himself. If we hadn't done it that way, we never would have gotten any answers from him. We found out that he does do it for a living. He does not have a home. He lives in an RV.
And he bangs lots of fat chicks in the RV.
There you go.
Okay, that's a good life. Good luck to him.
You know, we have found, really, that's the first time with Explain Yourself that it just serves such a purpose.
Sure does.
Great big fart.
And he couldn't help himself either. He had diarrhea of the mouth.
For the Gipper.
As bad as you and me do. I mean, well, he's probably used to going on radio shows where his patter just slays, you know, frickin' frack.
Patter?
You're bratwurst. Wow.
Wow.
Sports Talk FM.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll be back on 106.7, The Ball.
Talking with Joe, the commissioner of tailgating, for all the hungry fans.
Washington's first all-sports FM station. You're listening to The Ball. Thanks for being on with Craig Carmazin in the afternoon here on The Ball.
Great to have you on The Ball.
You're on The Ball.
Oh, and how about back in the day? You know, I'm sure you guys heard this, back when I first got into radio, when radio stations do something crazy, they'd run an ad like going, this weekend, 13Q has balls. Bum, bum, bum. And like everybody said, wow, shocking.
Cutting edge.
Giving away basketballs or something.
I know.
You know, that weekend.
Yeah, and then what a disappointment when you found out that they, you know, didn't have a testicular angle.
We're really giving away real live testicles.
You really thought there were a bunch of guys down there, you know, going, look at these. Take a look at these. Can you imagine that at a football game? Everybody with their favorite jersey, and then, look at these.
Just the bees.
Take a look at these.
Just the big bees hanging out.
We're having a ball this weekend.
Stay there. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why don't we let Jeff Greenfield have a go at it first?
No, let me have a go at it.
Go ahead, David.
I wish to say that we all look forward with great pleasure to 4 years of wonderful, inspiring speeches, full of wit, poetry, music, love, and affection. one's more goddamn nonsense than the other is that...
You can't say that on the air, Mr. Brady.
Well, I'm not on the air. I was amused to have to read that Ross...
David, just let me just go in the shit. We are on the air.
The Don and Mike Show.
Zits a poppin' with the Don and Mike Show.
That's the Friday favorite. Are you a fan of the new hit show, Commander in Chief? Anybody?
I watched the pilot.
Paris,
the
anybody?
I haven't seen it.
All right, well, stars Gina Davis.
You can come now.
I mean, it's a laughable concept,
yeah.
That a woman could be president. Let's welcome now the first female president of the United States, Gina Davis.
Hold it. Calm down. Music off. Sorry, Jeff Goldblum. Drop by. You're really going to be surprised that Gina couldn't make it, ask me to sub. She's thriving. I'm dying. So she asked me to come by. And
you're still friends.
I really.
You're the ex-husband,
really,
right?
What a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
We have right here. This is a little embarrassing for me. I had to come by because Gina asked me.
Uh-huh.
You see, yeah. She asked me to come by just to find out. You said I've got to do a radio thing. Can you fly to D.C. and you're not doing anything? I said no, I'm not. The movies have been tanking of late. I said be glad to do it. Hubby number two. Glad to step in. You know, we haven't been married since 90. Gina, she's a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
She's really doing a great job. But she said, can you sit in for me? And I know nothing. I what a quandary. What a quandary I have right here.
Sure.
Yeah, it's me, Jeffrey Lynn Goldblum here. Very, very happy to be on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, JG.
We're off and running.
I got to say, I'm shocked. I thought we would have your ex-wife on.
Listen, would it be out of school if I could throw a quick promo in for Apple Computers? It's really been paying the mortgage.
Commercial voiceover.
Years, truly.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum. That's the only way I've really made any money. I've got to tell everybody that I'm really thrilled. That they picked me up as a spokesperson, because otherwise I would very expensive homes.
Are you happy with the success of Gina's show, Commander in Chief?
Oh, poppycock! You're kidding me, of course. No.
How was your Yom Kippur?
The Yom Kippur was wonderful. We what did we do? We atoned. Yeah, that's exactly what we did.
What did you atone for?
We filled ourselves with atonement. We had an atonement atonement.
Day.
Demolition Derby.
What happened to you? I remember back.
We filled every nook and cranny of the Goldblum household with atonement. It was
you were in that great movie with Will Smith, Independence Day. I
Independence
Four.
Day, yeah. So
and you were in one
always
of the
bit part, though.
You were in one of the Jurassic Parks.
Always
maybe the first
maybe
Jurassic
the
Park.
Yes. Yeah, you enjoyed the Independence Day, did you?
Yeah, but that, what is that now? 10 years ago was that movie?
Well, I brought it along. I thought I'd get some analysis if you'd like to take a look at why we're doing commercials and not really on a big old silver screen where we should.
Oh, when you say we, you're using that royal.
Ah, yes, we. I atone for passing on the fly too. That's what I atone for.
Sure.
But if you want to go backwards, let's take the last 13 projects.
Of yours or your wife's?
Right, I just
wife.
Oh, what we're doing, Don.
Uh-huh.
What I'm doing here, and just to hear me out there with me, what I want to do right here is see if you can track with me. With familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ask. If you know the project, say I.
Okay, gotcha.
Thrust your arms up to the
Buzz,
I'll call
can
on
Buzz
you
play
like
as
your
well?
little schoolgirls. What?
Can Buzz play as well?
Yes, play along. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Number 12. All right, we're going to walk up to what I've done most recently.
Okay.
But number 12, uh-huh. Chain of Fools. Anyone?
No, it was that
anyone in the room?
Straight to video?
Is there any way down?
Sorry.
Of course, no one saw it. It died on the vine. Number 10, Perfume.
What the hell is that?
Exactly. At my point, exactly. That's right about fire agent time, as far as the Goldblum household. Number 9, Cats and Dogs. You might have heard of that one.
Oh, I
Cats and Dogs, I played Professor Brody.
That was a low moment for you.
A little tough.
I think I recognize that.
Meanwhile, you know, Gina, the old ex-spouse, is out shooting archery and banging Rennie Harlan. Let's keep going. Here we go.
Wasn't she on the United States Olympic archery team?
She's quite an Amazonian. She was wonderful. And when we made the fly, I've got to tell you, incredible in the rack. Really.
Wow.
But I embarrass myself, you killer. You bad kid. Let's roll right up to 8. Number 8, Igby Goes Down. Anybody familiar with that tour de force?
Not nominated.
Sorry, not nominated. No Golden Globes, no Academy Awards.
Never got
Igby
around.
Goes Down. No, never heard
no,
of
but
it.
No, but kudos to Gina for giving me my chance to do what I do best, talk about me. I dumped Gina, incidentally. She didn't dump me. I sent her away when she hit 7 feet.
Good for you.
That's what I said. So long, girly. You're just way too tall. I don't like them taller than me, you know. Number 7, The Legend of the Lost Tribe.
What the hell?
All right,
the Legend of the Lost Career.
Is it becoming clear? Are you starting to get a feel for what I do?
We're sorry.
You don't do anything anymore.
We're really, really in trouble with the career. And then you know, somewhere in that time, Apple knocks on the door. I'm like, yes, please bring your
love those
suitcase of cash, whatever you want to do. Number 6, War Stories. I played
never.
Ben Dansmore. These are true.
These are actual movies?
These are true cats. These are what I'm sharing with you. These are the real projects.
Holy cats.
Number 5, here's a big one. Everybody saw this. Dallas 362.
No.
Not familiar with it?
Yeah, no.
It's right here. I played Bob. Were you familiar with that story?
Gina is playing the president.
Yes,
of the United States, like not the wife of the president.
No, I dropped her. You might be amazed. I dropped her a telegram and I said, "Oh, Gina, real credible." So she didn't really care for that. But I'm bitter. We were only married 3 years.
Sure.
All right, now we're working on our way up to the top at number 4 on the hit parade of the Jeff Lynn Goldblum movieography, as I like to call it. Number 4 is Spinning Boris.
No.
Made in 2003, Spinning Boris. Line me up for the awards. I played George Gorton.
Yeah.
Oh, this sad list of projects. It's the primary reason I've ballooned up to 430 pounds. Yeah. I'm not the skinny waif-like thing that you saw at the Big Chill. No, but I happen to be right now.
Gina's show last week was number 9 in the overall ratings. I mean, overall, the 9th most popular show in America.
And you'd think she'd give me a check or two.
Don't you think
she would?
Sure.
Yeah, just drop me a little, maybe tens and twenties in a small paper bag. I require very little.
Didn't she have a child with up with your teeth?
My overbite, which has gotten worse as I've aged. Oh.
Didn't she have a baby with the young guy?
She was my 9th most popular lay. That's all I want to say about her.
Right.
We work in at number 3.
Did she have a baby with the other guy though?
Yeah, she's had a few babies.
None
something we didn't talk about either.
None with you?
She had mine, but mine was very insect-like.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad that we go all the way back to the fly a million years ago? My God, I believe I was such a young boy.
Yes, you were.
Before I hit 300 pounds. It was a long time ago. Who remembers in 2004 incident starring Jeffrey Lynn Goldblum, incident at Loch Ness?
Your career sucks.
Not you remember?
Familiar,
no. You know,
here's one you might know.
I bet I don't.
2004, The Life Aquatic. Bill Murray.
Oh, right. Love that movie. Yes. I saw that, and I love that
Buzz.
Movie.
Oh, I'm
great.
I'll kiss you on the ear. Thanks so much.
thank you so
friendly and lovely, Buzz.
Thank you.
With your political news. And number 1, and here we go. This is the project you might. It's in post-production now. I'm going to say Minnie's First Time.
Now, what is this?
About it'll be another independent that you won't see.
About Minnie Driver, Minnie Mouse.
That mole on Gina's face is actually an old raisin.
Really?
Just about the time she was playing a female baseball player, I was playing a fading actor in real life.
Oh, that's
where
right.
I am right now.
She was...
But how about the Apple company? You're saying sell these products.
She was huge in that movie.
Get out there and do it. It's very, very exciting.
A League of Her Own. She was a gigantic breakout star in that film.
So here I sit, Jeff Goldblum. Working actor, still maintaining about a picture a year. I received a total salary on my last project of $13,400.
That's pretty good money.
And that is all I have to my name right now. I've had to move out of my home, and things are not going well. The Apple money dried up very, very quickly.
Is it true or false that you were up for the Donald Sutherland role on Commander-in-Chief? He plays, I guess, the guy that wants to be president, right?
Well, we were excited. We thought television, this is something we can dive back into. I've done TV. I've done it all.
Yeah.
Theater, stage work, movies. You knucklehead. And what I'm doing right now is just a familiar role that I do. It's an improv that I do at home. It's called Waiting by the Phone. It doesn't seem to ring, isn't it? There's a new Apple product that plays only rotten films. We call it the Jeff Pod. So very, very exciting.
Are you going to be...
But I did like The Fly. I'll play it over and over again. So you remember me in that, The Big Chill?
Yeah, well, of course. You ate the Snickers bar.
I mean, you have to be a challenged actor to vomit on your own arm. Oh, boy. Big fun. Dissolve the food, then suck it up with your little nasal straw that comes over. And fortunately, in the 80s, we were doing a lot of that anyway.
Yeah.
Post-production as well as pre-production. It's really, really crazy. But now it's the Jeff Pod's not playing many hits, I'll tell you that right now.
I'm sorry.
I just missed out on the TV show Freddy. Is Freddie Prinze Jr. You laugh out loud. That's what I did. I was going to be the wacky next door neighbor.
You'd be like the Kramer.
Yeah,
Freddy. Right?
Yes, and I missed out on that one. I forgot it. They cast a no name. They want to do that now. Maybe it's my age. You know, I've been around the block, as they say. Killers. You know, just give me another sci-fi role. Let me be Will Smith's egghead sidekick. That'll really turn the screws to all my competitors. You know, The Fly was essentially about time travel. I wish I could travel back to when I could pay the mortgage.
Yes.
Right now, not good.
Have you thought fat.
That's probably what did it. I had a producer say, Jeff, we love your work. I said, thank you. Mr. Goldblum, we'd really like you to see if you could lose some weight.
How much?
How much? They said 200 pounds. I said, you're joking. That's going to be impossible. When's the picture start? 6 weeks. I said, what are you asking me to do?
You 200 pounds in 6 weeks.
I said, you're going to be minus the Goldblum talent outside of a double amputation.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very... But here we deal now with offers that are new and exciting, a new thing. Porn.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I am huge. So I'm looking forward to maybe trying my hand at that. I know I've tried my hand at it at home. So we'll see what happens with the... Look for Goldblum in his first major pornographic... I'll have to change the name, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, anything with gold reminds you. Right away, they're going to think that you're the... Have you seen...
I'd like to actually name myself after a plant. Jeff Goldenrod.
I like that.
What do you think? That's like the hay fever plant?
Have you seen the film Urinal Slut?
Urinal Slut. I've seen it many, many times. How about, is she talented? Is she incredible? Look what she can do.
Yeah.
Three guys and one girl. And look what she does. That's concentration.
Yeah.
Never even a, hardly a blink.
Could you see yourself working with Gina in a role like that?
In a porno?
Yeah.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Sure. We call it Jeff Goldenrod. And does the president.
I mean,
she could do her commander-in-chief. It's sad. I really have no ideas of development whatsoever. I really don't know. A community dinner theater is in the beckoning stage. Hello, Mr. Goldblum. Would you like to come down to the local dinner theater?
I like the Lazy Susan.
Man of La Mancha? Yes. I'm going to mirror the career of Robert Goulet. How strangely exciting that is for me. Sci-fi, everything's drying up. Very, very sad.
What about, weren't you friends on the shortlist with Steven?
God, I have my hair.
With Spielberg? Didn't he put you like in Jurassic Park?
Steve's a good guy. Real, real good guy. Unfortunately, a realist. And the Goldblum box office hasn't really been there, you know, the last few times. It's really been kind of short.
He's all about that.
And my films have to make money. And, you know, after Chain of Fools and Augie Rose, things were really in bad shape. I fancied myself an artiste. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that was not bankable. Was not my middle name. I tried to do the odd projects. You know, even with Buckaroo Banzai, back in the days, I would really just try to do something that's very odd and unique and scary. And I just didn't do it. I've been close to getting Our Town at the Drainsville Community Theater. We're going to see if we...
Arthur Miller thing. Yeah,
they were supposed to call him.
Is that the guy's name that wrote that? Arthur Miller?
No. Wednesday.
He's the dance
Thursday
studio guy, right?
I think when they were supposed to do that.
There is a playwright.
The phone rings.
Wilder has nothing to do with Arthur Miller.
I'm not going to be the narrator. I'm going to play one of the trees.
In what?
So in the Our Town. Real, you know, method acting. I have to really be the tree. It's
very stand on stage?
Enlightening is standable. I'm tall and I can really be a weeping willow type thing. My cameo in Soul Plane was also left on the cutting room floor.
That is sad.
So very sad to be me, Jeff Friedlin Goldblum. And Gina was the high point of my life. I have to tell you the truth now. She was a lovely, lovely lady, strapping girl, really forced me, knocked me around the room.
You get mad watching her on TV?
I hate it. It depresses me.
Yeah, she's got a hit
show. Look at her. She's just thrived. And I remember telling her when we were shooting The Fly, I said, this will be your last picture, sweetie. You pack it in after this. Go home, make me some matzo ball soup. You just sit tight. Enjoy riding on these long leather black coattails. That's been my black era when I was wearing black pants, leather pants.
Right.
Leather pants, black silk shirt, black leather overcoat.
That was cool.
Black hair, black glasses, black tinting in the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Goldblum's here. You know, Count Yorga, watch out. Oh, man. She's a Mina Davis is what she is.
We need a challenger.
Send me the checks, darling.
We need a challenger to play Low Budget Jeopardy with Jeff Goldblum, Mr. Gina Davis.
Challenge.
You
want to
play, it's 877-365-3636. That's the toll-free.
Please join me. Let the phone ring this time. It certainly isn't ringing at the Goldblum house. Jeffrey Lynn Goldblum standing by, really having fun. What a great show you have.
Thank you.
Thing about Gina, she always smelled like syrup. Sticky, sugary syrup.
Intriguing.
Very, very interesting. She's a syrupy girl. Tasty, syrupy girl.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
They do nano things. Have you been hiding bosom rags from me?
Trying to.
These magazines are from before we were married. Maybe you should throw them away.
But I need them for the articles.
The articles, eh? So, you wouldn't mind if I cut out all the erotic nudes?
Of course not. Why would I want to look at a nude woman I'm not even married to?
Okay, here's your precious articles.
Thanks, Marge. I can't wait to read about sport fishing with Sonny Jurgensen. Oh, ha, ha. What man would want you now?
The Don and Mike Show. One never knows what a homosexual is about, especially if you're listening to the Don and Mike Show.
Are you ready to see?
We're here with Gina Davis.
Oh, how are you?
No. Star of the new show, Commander in Chief.
Very excited to play the role of a female in the White House. That's the Commander in Chief with a skirt.
It's Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, it's really me, and not Gina. She's not, Gina, the star's Davis, not here.
She couldn't be here.
Yes, it's me mulling over my offers, just waiting for the next big hit. I'm getting back into series television, and I'm looking for the next 10 Speed and Brown Shoe.
It's coming.
Let's play Love Jeff Hardy.
I was good in that.
Yeah.
You remember when I was Ernie Kovacs? Yeah. Ernie Kovacs, Between the Laughter. Deep. This is Low Budget Jeopardy.
I show that on. You know the channel they show that on?
No, what?
Encore.
On True Stories. 1984. Some of my best work, in my humble opinion.
Very, Loser very, channel.
Yes.
Watched by losers like me.
Yeah. Incidentally, that Putz Moranis stole my idea for the country CD.
Damn.
He'll be hearing from my attorneys, you mark my words.
Rick Moranis?
Yes, yeah. Mr. Brown. And now, entering the studio is our first challenger. We have two today. This is an electrician. We all need electricity. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
So from Baltimore, let's say hi to Randy Smith.
Hello, Randy.
Hi.
Hey, dude.
Now entering the studio's contestant number two. This is, ring the bells. It's a marriage and family therapist from Reno, Nevada. Let's say hi to Karen Scarborough, old shrink you.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, boys. How are you?
We're doing great.
My electricity was recently turned off. And now entering the studio as the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Oh. Please say hi, Randy and Karen, and don't screw with him. This is Alex Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you there, and hello, Randy and Karen.
Yeah. Hi, LQ.
Hey, LQ.
What do you got, that funny phone? I got to be careful with this. Hello. Let's see whose phone it is that's funny. Hold on.
This is Jeffrey Goldblum calling from outer space.
Let me try. Hello, Karen?
Yes.
Good news for you. It's not your phone.
All right. Good.
Karen, you're going to stay with us, so we might have a little disappointment for Randy.
Then. We just switch him to the other line.
Yay, I win.
No, not that quick. That was fun. Slow down, my overzealous therapist.
Hello.
Hi there, BA.
Hey.
Let's see, this guy Randy. You see his phone number up there?
Randy's phone number? Let me see Randy's phone number, Joe.
It's on the screen.
Oh, yes.
It's right in front of you.
B.A.
Recall him on the analog lines, please.
Oh, B.A.
Okay, we'll do that.
Hey, good job, B.A.
Thanks.
Yeah, really thrilled with your performance.
I love you, Jeff.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Do your job.
Okay.
I've been to Saturn once, or was it twice? Been to Buckaroo. All you Buckaroos and Bonsais out there.
Jesus. It's
been a long time.
Yeah, get them both back on.
Get them both back on the line. Yeah, meanwhile, yeah. We have a chance to say that I'm available as a pitchman.
You know what? I
have a meeting with the... I want to see if you know the car dealership I'm negotiating with. I'm going to be Eastern Motors. Have you heard of them?
Oh, your car's...
It's a good gig.
Your car's your credit.
A fascinating script. Read it this morning. I say, stay down, punk.
Listen, here it is. Here is, as a matter of fact, here that is. It's on Mike O'Mara's new jingle for his restaurant.
Let's give it a listen.
Bad things happen when you're at O'Mara.
Your job's your credit. Your job's your credit.
Right. It's not your car's your credit.
Your job's your credit. You come in. I don't have a job currently, but I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I couldn't buy a car there. No, now, do we have our contestants?
All right, we've got the guy on the phone.
Randy.
Hello. Randy?
I'm here.
There he is. Now he's on a better phone. Now we just need to get the chick back.
Now that's Karen Scarborough of Reno, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Boy, I wish I could gamble. I used to gamble. I used to have a gambling problem. Can't do it any longer. A gamble for me is whether I'll be able to get out of bed without the trick knee going.
We got her. Hi, Karen.
Hi, guys.
See, now they can both be on the phone without that Darth Vader sound. Here we go.
It's game time.
Here's your categories, kids, and they are the 70s.
70s. I slept through them.
Best week ever.
Best week ever? Not this one, but I know I've had best weeks in the past.
And who said it?
Who said it? Well, I have done nothing quotable recently, so I know I won't be in that category, but please tell Charlie Gibson that I have a vested interest in the weather.
Karen, we like girls better than boys.
Thank you, Diane.
We'll start with you.
Well, what do you say? Huh? Wouldn't I do a good job? It was perfect.
We'll start with you.
Go ahead, Karen.
Karen.
How about best week ever for one, please?
All right. Oh, hey, this campy chap, made his fourth grand jury appearance this week. He's a real trustworthy.
Sorry.
Randy, here you go. You're an electrician. You're playing. You're on the radio. Try to steal.
I got no idea.
It's a very trustworthy Carl Rove.
Carl Rove.
Oh.
Great American. Karen, you're in control.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Same category for two, please.
There you go. They are currently tied with the Houston Astros in the National League Championship Series.
Who are... Ooh.
Randy, here you go. Here's your crack at it. Randy.
Hello, faggot. Sports question. A man should know it. Right.
Oh, Randy.
Homo.
Leap at the wheel. Jolt yourself with your own electricity.
The big red machine.
Yeah, very
good. St. Louis Baseball Cardinals.
Karen, you're in control.
Okay, same category for three, please.
Oh, this is a hard one. British actor Daniel Craig got this movie gig.
Oh, what is James Bond?
There we are. We have a correct answer. There is light. There is a ray of sunshine. Karen, select again, please.
Okay,
You got either the 70s or who said it?
70s for one, please.
Okay.
I am so tired of eating oodles of noodles. 70s for one, Karen.
Gee, your hair smells.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
All right, Karen, you're going to need to focus. Now, you're a therapist. You should be a good listener.
I'm tired of listening.
Randy, shut up. Randy, your chance to steal.
Gee, your hair smells.
Oh, what is terrific?
Oh,
there you are. Well played. $1 for Randy, the robust and rugged electrician who knows hair products for women. Select again, please.
70s for two.
Famous cartoon underwear.
Karen, your chance to steal.
What is Batman?
No kids, underoos. Underoos from the 70s.
Randy, boy, we're really setting records here.
Finish
Randy, yes, for three, very good.
All right, 70s. Made by Fabergé.
Oh.
Worn by Joe Willie Namath.
What is nylon?
Karen,
right.
Your chance to steal. Right.
What is brute?
Thank God for you. Thank God for
another
you, Karen.
$3. You know, Karen, I've got to tell you, you're really not cashing in all other categories, but you're getting the big ones.
That's right.
And that's good.
That's how we gamblers
again,
do it.
Yes, please.
The last category for one, please.
Who said it? For one. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Who is Vince Lombardi?
Look at that.
$1.
She's no faggot. How about that?
Nicely done. A great football pull for Karen. Yeah.
Yay.
Okay, for two. Who
for
said
two,
it?
Please.
Who said it for two? Check out my feedback and bid with confidence.
Who is
is Rave Spiewak.
Rave Spiewak. Oh, that's a funny. You're on the eBay. Yeah, you old Merchant of Venice, you.
I really want that beret.
Please do excuse me if I grow lightheaded. I just sold 2 pints of my blood.
And the final question on the big board. Here we go. Who's 7 for 3? The only thing worse than watching a bad movie is being in a bad movie.
Who is Jeff Goldblum?
Did I say it?
you did not.
Randy, your chance to steal.
Who is...
whatever.
It's Elvis.
Elvis, and that's the end of the first round. Fortunately, both of these crazy kookles are going to final low-budget Jeopardy.
All right, kids, here we go. Here's your category now. The category is finance. Finance.
Oh, great.
What is desperate?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm not playing. Sorry.
Play.
I'm sitting here.
Here you go, kids. Don't forget, answer in the form of a question.
What was I thinking?
This was the first ever credit card issued in 1950 with 200 people. You remember, Buzz. You were a radio card holder.
Yeah.
This is the first credit card issued. Look at those teeth. Issued in 1950 with 200 card holders.
Credit
Don't
card.
Forget, answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive Goldblums, the new throat lozenge that masquerades as a hard candy. Goldblums come in 5 delicious flavors, mint, cherry, guava, citrus, and root beer, and give you, candy satisfaction with cough drop kick.
Wow.
I wrote that. And that's why Goldblums will be sweeping the nation. We just shipped a case to Jerry Lewis. If he's on board, we're in the cotton. If this hits, then it's going to be Goldblum lozenges followed by lip balm in the spring. Now back to final moment of Jeopardy.
Thank you, Jim.
Now to Rebecca Geronimo. Good luck.
What's up with your Bugs Bunny teeth?
I wear. You're going to be surprised at this because you're an old Hollywood salt yourself. I wear dentures. And they've slipped.
Oh.
Let's go to Randy. Let's play the game.
Randy, it was the first credit card issued in 1950 with 200 card holders.
Well, okay, I'm guessing what is American Express?
Oh. I'm sorry, Randy. That knocks you down to 0.
All right, Karen.
Karen,
you got it. You're the big winner.
Okay. Do you want an answer?
Yes, darling, please.
What is MasterCharge?
Oh.
Listen, we have 2 people that are not in the money.
It's Diners Club.
Oh, I almost said that.
Diners Club and Happy Yom Kippur. Alan Linewand is thrilled we're giving away no money today.
Yay.
So both Karen and Randy don't go away mad. Just go away. But you know what? They both get the big prize. Jeff, your teeth are sliding out.
I'm having a little problem with my upper plate. Okay, let's see. Let's get through this.
Okay, tell them what they want now.
Do you have my cousin Alan? Line one.
You're related.
Both of you have won. Congratulations, Karen and Randy. Do they get this one or this one?
They each get the top one.
All right, here it is. Big prize time. Hold on to your seats and your electrician's tape. You both won a portable DVD player and Supernatural DVD.
Wow!
Courtesy of the WB. Tuesday nights, take a journey into the dark world of the unexplained. Ooh, mysterious.
Thank you very much.
Shut up, please.
I'm sorry.
Steve and Sam hunt down the evil that preys upon the innocent in the darkest corners of America. Supernatural.
Ooh.
Every Tuesday night at 9 on Washington's WB. Congratulations, Randy and Karen Mouth. You're both winners. Thanks for playing Low Budget Jeopardy.
Thank you both. Hold up. Have a great weekend. And Jeff, what can we say? Besides the fact that your career is falling apart,
your
dentures are slipping out.
I just want to say to all my detractors, I'm comfortable with my weight.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, cloudy skies this morning. Don't mess with your hair this morning, girls. Don't bother. You know, leave it up until you get to work this morning because it's going to come out anyway. Becoming partly cloudy later on this afternoon with highs to around 80. The degrees are 67. How do you like the show so far this morning?
I think we're going to have to submerge, Commander.
Hey, the good guys moving with music here at 7:04 in the morning with Harpo from WPGC number 1. The Groovers are here. Bunch of local guys making good there. The Groovers, they're from Fredericksburg, Virginia. The song He Will Break Your Heart, the old brought up and brand new 1969 star. Check the time at 7:08 with Harvey.
Come on and may us go.
Sweet Harpo.
automatic lines are now open. Call WPGC at 779-1580. Request any record we're playing on Good Guys Radio. Our choice of callers, your choice of records.
We're doing the show, of course, tomorrow.
I was going to ask you if you got your turkey yet.
Sure.
Do you, truthfully, do you help Mrs. Carson prepare the turkey?
Just like you help Mrs. Severinsen prepare the turkey.
No, there is no Mrs. Severinsen.
Oh, that's right.
There used to be...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
The fact that I never helped her stuff her bird was one of our big problems.
I thought that was your problem. Well, you know, I forgot all about that. We've been together so long that I forget sometimes where we are.
In fact, that was one of the things we really thought about.
What?
I wanted an oyster stuffing in the turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing, and she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, the weekend. I don't have a lot to tell you about the weekend, except to say this. I know that the weekend is a bad time to go shopping, especially for the holidays.
Yeah.
I realize that. I go in off hours. I go either very early or very late.
Right.
Something I've noticed, and I'm going to sound like an old fart, I don't care. There's too many punks everywhere now. I'm really tired of going into a store, and I'm not talking about necessarily the creeps that work behind the counters. Just punks.
Right.
Just punks who should be out selling crack or stealing cars or playing PlayStation or beating up their little brother in the backyard.
Describe punks.
Okay.
Describe the typical punk.
Grown up, Macaulay Culkin, all gothed out.
Uh-huh.
What I hate is going to the mall and there's a pack of them, a pack of zombies.
They're traveling gangs.
And they've all got the Bluetooth, so they've all got the things in their ears, because they're freaking spoiled brats, and they're all walking around having their Starbucks and being full of angst and window shopping, and then when you just try to just squeeze by, it's like you get the vibe from them like, hey, we're punks. What are you doing here in your Levi's and your Nikes? We're punks. You think you're getting into this store, punk? You're not punky enough to get into the store. Everywhere you go, there's...
Where were you, outside of Yankee Candle?
No.
That's where they congregate.
Every single store that I went to was full of punks.
Don't you think punks come in different shapes and sizes, too? Not necessarily all the goth punks, but, you get kind of the punks.
Yeah, no, listen, I'll give you the full spectrum. You got your...
They come in vehicles.
You got your grown-up Macaulay Culkin punks. You know, those are your white punks.
Right.
Your goth punks.
Do you have the...
Then you've got the punks. You got the brothers that are wearing the bling-bling and want like walking into a store like Neiman Marcus, where they know that 8,000 security guards will follow them all over the store because they're black. Mm-hmm. And they love that. They love playing that. I was in Needless Markup, okay? I'm crazy. I went in there because Frida used to like stuff. And I'm in the mall and I'm walking around and yo, how much is this? How much is this? And they have no intention of buying it. They're just dicking the store around because they know that because they're young punks, that they can't be kicked out of the store, but they've got to be watched. So that would be group number two, the bling bling guys.
Right. Can I throw a category in there? The punks that drive the little lawnmower engine cars with the completely oversized exhaust. Do you have those? Have you seen those around where you live?
No, I'm just talking
where the cars go by and they're all young and they're all punks and they got the tiny little cars like your Toyota Corollas,
right?
And then they got the giant ass exhaust on.
Mike, I believe they make
all the noise.
Let me then address all of my Hispanic punks.
Yeah, no. These you might have some Hispanic punks too. This cuts through all racial lines.
I understand. This is just another group of punks that I'm finding everywhere I go.
Yes.
And they're not even, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're all thug age. I'm saying that these are even punk kids.
It's a lifestyle. Right? It's a choice.
Little kids.
No, the age range goes anywhere from like 13 all the way through 25. Right.
I would say now, based on my experience this weekend, punk now starts. And I'm not talking about the music or the TV show. I'm talking when a kid is just a punk, just a little ass that you want to just smack.
How old?
Six.
Wow. Really? That young?
Six. Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
Wow. Six. Everyone were just too many freaking punks.
Punks.
Just punks.
Damn punks.
To me, still not as menacing as double-wide baby strollers.
Oh, maybe much more menacing.
Maybe not to you, but
that's just me, though.
I don't know. I just know that I went to the store, and I came away thinking, God damn, what's wrong with me? You know, I go to the store, and my whole thought is, why are there so many punks everywhere?
I'm going to say that I think that can probably only get worse.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm buying on the intranet now. Mm-hmm. That's what I've decided. You know, screw personal touch. Too many punks. Too many punks at too many stores. I mean, I went to the Pottery Barn, okay?
Yeah.
If you think there's ever going to be a place where you're not going to have punks.
Punks free.
It's the Pottery Barn.
Is it a punk-free environment?
No, because they're all the coffee shop type beatnik punks.
Punks need pottery.
The punks who are just...
Were the punks working there?
No. These are all customers or alleged customers. They're just the punks that love standing looking at the furniture.
Right.
And sipping their Starbucks latte and talking on their Bluetooth and just generally just wearing... Jesus Christ, even the outfits yesterday were pissing me off.
Wow.
It was like, okay, I understand it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's 30 degrees.
Right.
Okay, why do you have on two separate jackets? There was one punk that had, like, what's the jacket the kids are killing for now? The North Face, okay?
Yeah, the North Face parka. Right.
So he's got the North Face parka on, and he's got one sleeve in that. But he's got another jacket on the other side, and that sleeve is also on as well. He's got two hats on mm-hmm. at the same time. Sure. He's wearing his pants. This is a white guy. He's wearing his pants way down, like the Marky Mark thing.
Right.
And he's got the big chain hanging to his belt.
Yeah,
and
over.
The whole time he's walking around going, yo, hey, what's up? I don't know. Hey, I don't know, boy. And it's like a pack of like 10 of these creeps. You know, Jesus Christ.
Too many punks. That's it.
Punks.
Here you go. And the music they listen to.
Thank you.
I mean, oh, no, now, see, you're mocking him, aren't you?
Perhaps a bit.
Oh, God.
Well, you don't have a problem there, Graham?
No, I really don't have a problem with him, and I think it is amusing, and I think that's why you brought it up, but I think it's amusing that you've reached a point at which that irritates you. You know, I don't see the difference between that and, hairstyles.
A buzz, it's just... They're punks.
Right.
Hey, freaking punks are everywhere.
To counter that, and I don't do this like nakedly all the time, but I'm going to do it. Not to sound like I'm kissing your ass or anything, but I agree with you 10,000%.
You know why?
And I think you and I ought to go out some weekend and kick a few of their asses.
You know why?
Just for general fun.
You're an old man like me.
Well, maybe. I might be so.
There you go.
But you know what? I can't stand them.
So will you join me now in pushing for a dress code? A national dress code.
Get out of here.
Would you just get out
of here? A sweater vest?
No, I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you 10 million percent. I got to pour drinks into him 7 nights a week.
Oh.
Stop it, Michael.
Oh. Hey.
Oh, dear.
Oh, hey, you said Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You said Michael.
That's because I was mad at myself.
Oh, now, I can I tell you that I did do the grand end around, no pun intended, about the Xbox 360? Can I now tell you the whole story? And I will write it down for Mike. I already told Rob my brilliance on this.
Mm-hmm. Your new name.
I never really wanted the name Danny Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
There was another name that I wanted that has nothing to do with George Clooney.
Excellent.
Let me write it down.
Now it's a secret.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Good.
You do. Okay, it's a long one. This is the one that I wanted.
See that? Oh, okay.
That's
right.
The one that I
Very
wanted
good.
For
Very
Xbox
good.
Live.
All right.
To be my name to play Madden on Xbox
Excellent.
Live. Now, when that guy from San Francisco sent an email to DonandMikeWebsite.com
right.
last week telling me that he would give me his Danny Ocean name,
yeah.
little did he know that I really did not want the Danny Ocean name, that I wanted another name. But if I was to mention what the name was
sure.
or what it was associated with, I'd never get it.
Right.
So I ended up talking to this guy via electronic mail.
And,
okay, you guessed.
Robert the Mailman.
Yes.
You guessed. Yes, that's that's the name.
About that was taken.
Anyway, I found the guy. God, I'm creepy. I'm a creepy internet person. I found the guy who had the name that I wanted.
Right.
Because I found out, if you go to Microsoft, you could look up member profiles, and once I figured out how to email, because this Danny Ocean 11 guy showed me how, I had the Danny Ocean 11 guy send the other guy an email, and I ended up swapping out for the third time, and now I have the name that I wanted.
The one you want.
Because another guy had it?
Another guy had it.
Wow.
Didn't matter to him at all. And I'll tell you one more thing. Played the widower card. I played the widower card with him.
And you got the name you wanted.
Sure. I know it's stupid. I know that Frieda would be looking down at me in heaven going, God, you're an ass for mentioning my name during this. But I was typing the emails to the guy.
Well, that is a wild card to me.
And it was like, okay, this name meant a lot to me, meant a lot to my wife who passed away 5 months ago. It's our first holiday alone. Meaning a lot. Send. And then just sit and wait, and just 5 minutes later...
And they got back to you.
Like, bing, boom, you got it.
Very nice.
Oh, that's very cool.
You got it.
And now, and did you get a chance to use the name and play over the weekend? Well, I guess, would you be revealing a secret if you...
Oh, no, there's hundreds of thousands of idiots like you to play Xbox Live.
So it doesn't matter.
I'm there, and I've not won a game yet.
And you still like the 360? You're still
love
digging
it.
That.
Love it. Play it
no glitches like I've heard with some of the machines.
The only glitch I have is I'm retarded. Mm-hmm. That I think I'm good. I play against the computer. I'm really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I get online, and I've got my ass kicked 3 separate times now.
Practice, baby, practice.
That's right.
I do. Anyway, got the name, so thank you for that. One more thing from the weekend. Please remind me. Besides listening to the Robert tapes and the tapes of the Redskins locker room, we really should talk about the dear departed B.A. McBride.
Okay, very good. Any contact with her over the weekend?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, not over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but, hello, Don and Mike. I did talk to her today. Hello.
I think I know.
Are we still talking about punks?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you want to, sure.
Well, what about the Britney Spears wannabe midriff-wearing high school girl punk?
Okay, agreed.
Right. There's a lot of that, too.
Thank you, honey. Thank you, honey.
Here again, I don't have a problem.
Of course you don't. Statutory.
I'm getting my
Buzz Statutory. Isn't that your Italian name, Buzz?
My Italian name, yes.
Hello.
I'm going to have to ask for advice, like when I meet the first, if my daughter happens to date a Federline. I mean, what the hell? I mean, you've told me, right? You just got to kind of be cool. You got to roll with it. You can't be proactive or anything like that. But you can present yourself without being overt about it, without directing it towards the individual. You can present yourself in any way you wish to.
Yeah, you
correct?
You can
like be cleaning dead animals or something. They would say, I'm in the kitchen, and be like really high, but doing something completely hideous with sharp knives.
Yes.
Like our attorney Doug, when he was cleaning his guns in the lot. I thought that was a brilliant move. He was as friendly as all get out. Have a great time, be back on time. Thanks so much. Very, very nice meeting you. And meanwhile, he's cleaning a Beretta shotgun.
What you do is you slaughter an animal, you come out, you meet him nicely, you got a big rubber apron on, and just remind him cordially that accidents happen. My buddy's perfect, son.
That's good.
Yeah, what I don't want to do is I was watching on HBO that dumb movie with Dennis Quaid and Marg Helgenberger and Topher Grace, the one where Topher Grace takes Dennis Quaid's job, becomes his boss.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. I haven't had any desire to see that at all.
It was on HBO over the weekend.
Maybe you're going to watch a retread, watch Flight of the Phoenix. If you need your Quaid fix,
he takes his shirt off, Mike. But in this one, this is so the formula jive bad. Everything you hate about the movies. At one point, Dennis Quaid is trying to get dinner together, and he says to his daughter, who's about, I guess, your daughter's age, maybe like about 13.
Uh-huh.
Says, dinner's here. He's got the pizzas, and she says, I'm on the phone with my boyfriend. And then Dennis Quaid picks up the phone and goes, hello, this is Mike O'Mara. I want to let you know that if you ever give my daughter a beer or let her near weed, I will kick your ass. Come on down for dinner, honey. And he hangs up the phone, and she's like, oh, Dad.
Yeah, that's how they react.
Just so.
I would think that would be a very foolish parenting strategy.
Yeah, I mean, why not just say to the boy, listen, take my daughter out and do what you want with her.
Mm.
I mean, because that's, you know what you do? you overreact sometimes.
Right. Well, I don't want to overreact, but you know my daughter's 10, and I got a call yesterday, and it was a number that had my ex-wife's name on it, but it was a different phone number.
Hmm.
And I picked it up. I said, what number are you calling from? And she said, my cell phone.
Well, now you
she
know.
Said, my cell phone. And she said, Daddy, I'm calling to torture you. And I mentioned that at the end of the school year, we're going to have a dance where the girls get to ask the boys if they want to go to the dance.
And she said
to me, I was just calling to torture you. And I said, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So the fact that she's calling me to say that might be a good sign. I don't want to betray that trust. But I do want, in some way that is completely unique, and not the rubber apron, not anything silly, I seriously want to figure out a way to in some way, just present, without my daughter thinking that I'm being overbearing, present to this young lad, whoever it may be, whoever that comes to the door, to present. No, I'm talking down the road. Hopefully they won't be driving up. I'm talking like when they... I want to present the image of being not quite right.
Do you remember when Uncle Buck met Bug?
I love... That's why I love Uncle Buck.
When he says, do you know what an axe is? It's like a big hatchet. I got one in the car.
I identified with Uncle Buck before I became a father.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love Uncle Buck, but Uncle Buck's movies, it doesn't happen. You've said to me, it doesn't happen in real life.
You've just got to be more low-key. You've got to think less John Candy, more De Niro. More low, understated.
Travis Bickle?
Understated, you know.
I got friends that are scary as hell.
Thank God.
I truly do.
Thank God.
That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I just have some of them over.
Friends. That's a way to do it.
That's
friends.
Exactly how, I mean, I...
Friends
could,
of ours.
I could put four guys...
Some of your mob buddies.
I could put four guys in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
That, and they're not mob guys. Come on. But I could put four guys that would seriously present the image of just... Yeah, that's it.
And that's how you...
They're not mob guys. They don't use the back of your restaurant like they use that place in Kansas City in Goodfellas.
No. Stop it.
No. Well, you've got...
Stop
and Mike,
that.
Mike's mock was back there making
the
balls of spaghetti.
Yeah, we need it for his hoof.
And that way you stay the good guy.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don't
Hello.
Listen to them. Have fun.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, hi.
I just wanted to tell you about my favorite part of your show. You haven't done it in a long while, though.
Is it the end? Is it the sign-off? That's my favorite part.
Oh, no. I like it when somebody's just going on and on and on, and you just hang up on them straight out right in the middle of the conversation. Like, because got nothing good to say.
Not going to fall into the trap.
On and on and on.
He's
and on
trying
on
to manipulate
you're asking
you.
For
you're
it.
Much too smart for that.
You're asking for good good day, sir.
Sorry. Yes,
good
you all are for very good disc jockeys.
Thank you.
You are very good disc jockeys.
Goodbye.
You are a great disc jockey.
Goodbye. Now, before, you know what? Let me hit a break here. We get to all this other crap.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll, just picked by my guys here as always. Craig, Randy, Gary, Eric, man, Bob Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike, everybody in on this one.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reg.
How are you, Gordon?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm 70 today.
Hey, big guy. I thought I was calling in for your 30th birthday.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chance. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chance. Okay?
Come on, dog.
Okay. I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. Ah, we love the chancy man, the chancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little coat. And that is why we love the chancy man, the chancy man.
What happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you're stop marvelizing with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things with her I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What, are you crazy?
So toast them in a 350-degree oven until you can just sort of smell the nuts. And then remove them from the oven and place them on a clean cloth. And notice when I rub the nuts with the cloth, the skins kind of just fall off. I'm going to get the nuts as clean as possible. Every speck doesn't have to come off. But if you rub hard enough, most of the skin will pop right off the nut. It's a simple way to do a lot of nuts in a short period of time.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob. There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go. You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you.
I want the whole thing.
The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough.
Bitch.
Attention! Attention! Nils is dead.
I repeat, Nils is dead, fucking dead. So is his pal. And those four guys from the East German All-Stars, your boys down at the bank,
they're gonna be a little late.
His love of animals put him into a tank with a killer whale and gave him a close encounter with Coco, the mountain gorilla that learned sign language from her keepers.
A mountain gorilla? This is gigantic. And I got scared. So the only thing I could think of was to say to Coco, I love you, Coco. Because I knew that if I said I love you, then I'd start to feel I love you. It's a simple actor's trick. I love you, Coco. My advanced honor. I love you, Coco. Coco, I love you. And I knew that my body was softening. I love you, Coco. And I got right in front of her. I said, Coco, and I looked into her deep brown eyes. I said, I love you, Coco. She put her hand out and grabbed me by the balls.
Ah, well, thank you. But that information is absolutely useless.
The Don and Mike Show.
Fulfilling nature's order. The Don and Mike Show.
Let me share one thing with you that I find creepy. Yeah, this is about Frida, but not really about Frida. Okay, so bear with me for a second. I think I mentioned right after Frida had died that I got a letter, a very lengthy letter from somebody I had never met. And as it turns out, Frida had been to a massage, like a spa or something in Ocean City, and had met somebody who she gave a business card to, or somebody. Anyway, it was okay. Like, it was a woman who wrote me a letter claiming that she knew somebody who knew my wife.
Right.
And she wrote me a very long letter that she had recently had somebody die. And really, I think I mentioned it on the may have read the beginning of the letter.
Right.
That it was just all about this woman, and I don't know why she was projecting this onto me. And I read the letter on the air,
mm-hmm.
and said, leave me alone. Well, on Saturday, I get what appears to be a Christmas card.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, I don't even know this woman.
Right.
You open up, there's a card, just a blank card. Then you got a nice letter. And really, you just need to have your head examined, honey.
It looks lengthy.
I mean, we're all going through something. Everybody who's been through this situation. Dated November 28th. Dear Mike, I'm not sure if you remember who I am. I'm a friend of a friend of your late wife who lost my fiancé. Again, for some reason, I feel compelled to write to you. Hey, bitch, I don't know you. And this is now me interjecting.
Yes. We figured. You're responding to the correspondent.
Perhaps it's because this is the first Thanksgiving without him and without her. I need to express my feelings to someone who will understand. Or maybe it just makes me feel better to write down my feelings as a way of alleviating some of the pain. Whatever, here goes. Now, this goes on for over two pages.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Honey, I ain't your friend. I ain't your psychologist. I couldn't pick you out of a goddamn lineup. I'm very sorry that you're going through a tough time. I'm going through a tough time as well. The last thing I need is to get a goddamn pity party letter where you say right in the first paragraph, and I've never met you, that it just makes you feel better to write this down. Why don't you write it down without sending it to me?
Do you think she's going to, like, a counselor or a grief counselor that tells her to do that kind of stuff?
to share it with other people? Is that what you're supposed to do?
I don't know.
I don't understand why you would share it with a stranger.
Why would you share it with someone that you don't know? I mean, then it goes on. My Thanksgiving, like I know her.
Yeah.
My Thanksgiving sucked as much as it was nice. My entire family came for dinner Thursday, to be followed by Marty's family joining us for dinner on Friday. I was a little busy. Thankfully, my older sister is a chef, blah, 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 blah. It's tradition in my family, blah, 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 blah. I can't believe he's gone. Another first behind me. Now here comes Christmas. Ugh. On a lighter note, something amazing did happen this fall. And then she writes something about dogs playing in the water and how that was a sign that her dead fiancé was coming back to her. And Jesus Christ. And then she writes, the signs are supposed to happen if you're open and you let them. My friend Angie is a school teacher and she lost her mother. Now, again, it's not that I don't feel for these people. Not only do I not know this person writing me the letter, I don't know who Angie is.
Right.
Why the frig am I getting pulled into this thing about Angie?
You know, taken to the extreme, it's very similar to those people that send out Christmas cards with the family letter.
Right.
And even those are in many cases, at least acquaintances than people that you've met. And that's still, to me, why are you sharing something with the people that don't care?
More than you need to know.
So my friend Angie is a school teacher. She lost her mother. Angie and her mom shared a love of gardenias. A month after her mother passed, she was at work, and all of a sudden she smelled gardenias. She asked people if they were wearing cologne or if she smelled it too. Nada. That was one of her signs. When she told me that story, I got goosebumps. I want and need more signs. As I told you when I wrote earlier, I am several months ahead of you in the grief process. She sounds like she's doing great. And I hope you're surviving the best you can. I survived Thanksgiving. However, I've got to tell you, Christmas is going to be a bitch. I'm supposed to go skiing with my brother, his wife, and my sister, but I'm torn between that and spending the holiday with Marty's family. Who knows? All the choices. In closing, I'm not going to wish you happy holidays. I'm going to wish you peace. With kind and understanding regards. Honey.
You don't know this person.
Go to hell. Okay? Don't need it. Don't need it. Take a one-way trip to hell.
How do you really feel about it?
Serious. Jesus Christ. Friend of a friend. Call Dr. Laura.
Right.
Don't send me another letter, you creep. Jesus Christ.
Have you thought about maybe putting it on a piece of paper and sending it back to the address? That might really be, who knows whether she listens or not, but I'm guessing she does. But she may have gotten the message just now.
I'm not sure if you remember who
GTH.
I am. Go to hell. Friend of a friend of your late wife. Listen, I'm not running a counseling service. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, don't you have your own crap to deal with?
Right.
Yeah, there you go. That's
right.
That would kind of be my point, Mike. Is that if it was a friend?
Doesn't that fall under the... You made it very clear to those of us that know you that to not constantly be asking you how you're doing, how you are, and all that stuff, that it's really... That kind of tends to stir stuff up. So that's exactly what this does when you read that letter.
Right.
I would imagine if you say you were having a really good day and things were going okay on that particular day or a good hour, whatever it takes.
As I was on Saturday.
And you get that out of the mail and you dive into that, then it's just like, oh, fantastic.
And I see this and I see, hey, it's a chick's handwriting.
It's someone who may think she's doing the right thing for her, but that's not necessarily the right thing for another person.
Right.
Go to hell. Go to hell.
And it sounds to me from even what you included in that letter that she's got other people that she can certainly vent to.
All right. Send a letter to Dear Abby, for God's sakes. Since when did I become Abigail Von Buren? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, this is Tricia. How are you doing?
Hi there, Tricia.
I think that her fiancé is not really dead. I think he's in the witness protection program because I think she's insane. She's self-centered and pretentious.
You mean you think he escaped her and is hiding?
I think he faked his death,
death.
Oh, get out of here. You stop that. I'm sure the guy is dead.
Hey, stranger things have happened. You've heard some of the callers on this show.
I'm sure the guy is dead, but, does everybody get my point with this?
Yes.
Like, and I don't want it to... this is part of the way that I am now, and without Frida around, I don't have to censor myself. You know, I like people like that. I know if Frida was alive, she would say to me, don't be an ass. Just send the woman an email and say thank you for your thoughts and blah, blah. But Frida's not here now, so you know what? Go to hell. And stop sending me letters like I know you. I don't know you, friend of a friend. You're no friend of mine.
Now, Frida might have stopped you after that first one. You know, she might have actually agreed with you on this particular one.
Hello, Don and Mike.
That second go to hell, you didn't need to do that.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you guys doing?
Hi, we're okay.
Hey, I've got the solution to Mike's worries about his daughter's situation.
Oh, here we go.
Don, when you get a chance, just play the Dakota Fanning tape again.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot, pal. I knew that was coming.
That's in Mike's wheelhouse anyway.
Thanks so much, ass.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, listen, Mike, I got another solution for your daughter problem.
I didn't know I had a real problem. I was mentioning it, but go ahead.
This will help you out immensely. My friend of mine, he works as a counselor and goes around to high school and talks to kids about STDs. And he came across a dismembered male organ, and he's got it in a jar with formaldehyde. And the last time a guy came over to his house.
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. The guy goes into high schools with that?
No. He's a counselor, and he came across this thing.
Came across it.
Okay, how did he come across a severed penis?
They give out pamphlets and brochures on what STDs can cause.
No. Where did the counselor come across the severed penis?
He said it was got out of a hospital and up in Vallejo, California.
I think it might be your friend that needs the counseling.
Okay, thank you.
He's carrying that around. Where to keep it when I'm not talking to kids?
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I heard about something in the news. It was people like that. They find you, you know, in the paper or something happens to you, and then they kind of become your conductor. And they say, you know, I'll share your grief. And as they suck you in, they try to get you to give them their money, give them their land. Mm. Eventually they marry you.
Is there any definitive connection that you know in that letter?
No. I mean,
are you 100% sure that connection is solid?
I think so. I think that on the air, when I read the letter last time on the air, the first letter, she did indicate that
she really knew the connection.
She went to a place where, you know, whoever this woman is that would give my wife a massage would, you know.
I hate to be cold about that, too, but you got to really, I would think you would have to be aware of that, too. The people would be out there. You know, maybe looking for, you know, you've been, I'm not going to tell the details of that story you told on the air, but when you were approached by the woman down in Ocean City that time.
By Big Don's girlfriend.
Several of these sound as though, you know, somebody's looking for maybe a nest.
And it's not happened for a long time.
Soft place to land, right. If you know what I mean.
Oh, I don't think this chick is looking for me as like her future. I think she's just...
Well, you never know.
She's nuts. She's nuts with this grief thing. Just don't bother me. I got my own grief, bitch. Hello, Don and Mike show. Go straight to hell.
Okay, that's a third time now.
Yes. Well, I want to make sure she gets the message, Mike. I want to make sure in case someone is listening that they can hip her to that fact.
Maybe send back an envelope.
I got the letter. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Yeah,
hey, why don't you give me that address, and I'll get a couple of my homies. We'll get down there and get medieval on her.
Okay,
No.
Probably unnecessary.
That's exactly.
That was a punk.
That's right. I was just going to say, I'll meet you at Tyson's Corner tonight.
At the Pottery Barn.
I'll meet you punks. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Thug Central.
Yes, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Okay. I hate those punks too, man.
Right on.
Hey.
Right on, old fart.
I hate those punks that are behind the radio acting like they're tough.
Now, are you talking about us?
Yes, I am talking about those gangsters.
How are we talking like we're tough?
Oh, you're talking tough, big and bad when you're out in public, you little lambs. Studio gangsters is what we call you.
Studio gangsters.
Studio
gangsters.
Thank you for the call.
Studio gangsters.
We'll be right back.
we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.